I mean, I recommend living.
Okay.
It's better
that
than
part's all right. Yeah. Better than not living, as far as I know.
We're recording again. So, hey, if you're just joining us.
Hi.
Welcome to Octobercast. This is the fourth cut of Octobercast. We're bringing it 2-hour chunks. We are into the sixth hour.
Sixth hour.
Wow. Holy cow.
No, wait.
Seven. This is the start of the seventh hour.
We finished 6 hours.
He's Norm. Gary's making coffee. Jeff Green is joining us.
Hi.
Jeff, you're from all sorts of places.
All sorts of places.
CGW.
GFW.
GFW.
Electronic
PopCap.
Arts.
Electronic Arts.
Now PopCap.
That was fun. And then Electronic Arts again.
And then Electronic Arts again. And it's fun again.
I know. It's awesome. Very exciting for everyone.
They kind of stand for fun.
That's what like,
everything's awesome is actually what EA stands for.
Okay. That is a diplomatic response.
That's the only response you're going to get.
The last time we saw you was at PAX. How have you been since PAX?
I've been good since PAX. I mean, as we were just alluding to, I had a big milestone this week.
You turned 30.
I turned 30. Yes, okay. Thank you. I love you. So I'm still trying to kind of get my head around that. That whole 50 is actually the number. It's a big number.
I know.
You know, I started noticing that like when girls are talking or young women are talking and they're like talking about some guy hitting on him or whatever, 50 is sort of like the standard at which creepy enters the picture, you know? Well, it's not like some creepy 50-year-old guy hit on me.
That's a sliding scale, though.
You think it is?
I think that there's different levels of creepy depending on the person.
Right. It might be creepy at any age with me is a thing.
Well, I mean, you have one of those shirts that's like cut all the way down the navel and some sweet chains, I think you can hit creepy at
nothing creepy about
age.
That.
Not for Gersman.
That's just how it works,
Jeff
man.
Knows what I'm talking about.
We got stereo Jeffs going on. Yeah. This is kind of nice.
I know. We're surrounded by jerky. Now we're surrounded by Jeff.
Yeah.
We're pretty jerky, too, I guess.
We talked about...
Indeed.
We talked about teleporting poop out a little while ago.
I heard that.
What can you guys bring to the table?
I was warned about that.
Do you want to clear off some trash? We have a garbage can over there by
we
Jeff.
We do have a garbage can.
We should probably
tidy
clear
this
off
a little
yes.
bit.
I'm actually going to go wash out this cup because I had orange juice and I don't want to mix that with coffee.
The lid of the Zojirushi is a cup.
I like big cups of coffee, a man's cup of coffee. This cup also has pigs on it.
Okay.
You guys are holding up also, pretty good here. I'm not detecting punchiness yet either. You're kind of right in the zone.
It's only been
six hours.
Yeah, and actually having a nonstop stream of guests has made this like really tear by because like usually you just get into a rhythm and then you're like, oh, it's okay, 15 minutes. We got 45 minutes left with this guest.
Right. Now, do you have guests lined up from like 2 to 6?
That's the dead zone.
You know,
we do have a guest at 2, but after 3, then we're on our own.
We might have a guest at 3. Because Robbie may actually come at 3, depending on what because he's playing in his band tonight.
Okay. But maybe some of Will's Norm Manor chums.
Yeah, the Norm Manor kids we're hoping will make a visit. Because Norm has a flop house out in
and
the sun.
And Brad and Patrick are out getting hammered at some double.
Oh, yeah, we're
going to
get drunk giant bomb guys later.
I think that's going to be the key. Great podcasting time.
Yeah, it's like 3 sober people zone. And 2 or 3 really drunkards.
I got to set my alarm to get up.
Yeah. Because if it's real bad, I'm not going to ever publish it again. This will be all you'll ever see.
I can tell you that when we started to announce the guests, you were one of the guests that people were most excited that would be coming on the show. So no pressure.
Flattering. Yeah, I'll try to be entertaining.
Happy birthday, dude.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You just turned... You turned 50.
I turned 50.
I wasn't going to go there.
We've already talked about it.
No, you know what? I've made my peace.
That makes it sound like you're ready to end your life.
Just keep saying it until it's true.
I saw a quote from that Bruce Wells had the other day.
Okay.
We all know Bruce Wells.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Was that the one?
That was the other one.
Good.
Okay.
That was the quote. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You ruined my story.
Well, sorry.
God.
And what he said was, somebody asked him about being, you know, a more senior fellow now.
Yeah.
And he said something that like completely resonated with me. You guys might be still too young to have this resonate. Maybe not. I don't know. But what
we'll
he
see.
Said was...
I'm an old soul.
I'm closer
what he said
to 50
was,
than I am to zero.
Right. I guess we all are in this room. He said, no matter what age you are, at a certain point, you always think you're 27.
Is that right?
Yeah. I thought that was a great quote.
It's absolutely right.
I still feel like I'm 12.
I feel like I'm 19.
I go through that, too.
Yeah, for me, it's like more like a 23-ish, 24-ish.
Because you kind of get to a certain point, like, you're just you. and you're just living your life, right? So like I don't
I like this conversation.
I don't feel like a 50-year-old man, you know, I just feel like me.
I always wonder if this was just me, but like I spend a lot of my adult life feeling like I'm not like I'm a fraud, an imposter in the world of adults. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I was just talking about this with a friend last night. It was for me it was a work related thing.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, maybe 5 years in at GameSpot, like after, you know, kind of ascending a little bit and getting a promotion here and there. And for me, the difference was, the transition was that all of a sudden I had the answers to people's questions.
Yeah. Right.
And that was the realization of like, oh, wait, I totally do know how to do this.
I know stuff. Yeah. Right.
And that was when I stopped feeling like a fraud.
The one for me, I don't want to feel the other way, though. I like feeling like a big kid.
Like a child.
Well, yeah.
I
mean,
I think you can kind of have it both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what have I done in the last 3 days? I've like been reading comic books. You know, and I'm not like trying. This isn't some desperate attempt to recapture. Like, that's what I like
to do. Did
you
buy a Porsche with that EA money?
But like, so, you actually have a real grown-up life. Like, you've got grown-up kids, and like you have to be a dad and have real fucking responsibility. Like, you actually have to be a real man, unlike any of us.
Yeah, and that part, you know, I don't recommend it.
How's that working out?
Yeah, don't do it. Just kidding, honey. I don't know if she's listening or not.
You made life though. We've never done that.
Yeah.
Well, that we know of.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It's destroyed more life.
I'll tell you, though, there's a couple secrets about parenthood. And one is definitely that you do get to kind of relive a lot of these things in a way that's like totally legit and no one can look down on
you. Well, this was the Penny Arcade thing today. Like, I'll admit this. I've gone to Toys R Us and bought games before. Like, when I went and bought the Pokemon the first time and I was like 30 years old.
Right.
I literally was like, oh, yeah, I'm totally buying this for my kid. It's like buying porn or condoms or something when you're 19. Like, I've gone the other way, and I was like, I don't want people to think that I'm buying Pokemon.
Well, I mean, if you're buying like Pokemon and the porn and condoms at the same time, I think that's where the problem might come in.
Or Pokemon like porn might judge.
Yeah, well, can't buy that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times when it's, you know, hard to be an adult.
But you have this balance of, like you said, you're a guy, you're a grown man with a family, but also you like to play video games and you've still got that inner child. Is that a hard thing to balance with having kids around you and stuff?
not
do your
really,
kids think you're cool or lame that you still that you're into a lot of the same stuff?
Well, I have the one, and she you know, she's 17 now, so it goes through waves where I'm cool and I'm not cool. Like right now we're in a pretty good place. But actually what drives her crazy is when her friends think I'm cool.
Oh, that's gonna be
mortifying.
It's mortifying, right? And they want to come over and talk to me, and she's like, "Oh my god, like dad, like go upstairs."
Like, I'm like, "Holy shit, your dad was on the Brodeo."
It's kind of like that.
That's pretty cool,
right? Right. Like she really didn't want it known, like what school she went to and things like that, because she knew there were going to be high school boys.
Oh
who
yeah.
No, and in fact, that did happen. There was some kid who was asking if,
"Hey, your last name's Green."
But if
exactly,
but here's, I'm not understanding the 17-year-old mentality in looking at this, because if you have a super cool dad, doesn't that by extension make you cool, or does it make you
not in her mind?
No. Okay,
yeah, that's, I think like that's something Nick you figure Cage. Out after. No, the
I can't be cool in her when her friends are around. Like she and I have a great relationship.
Yeah.
I'm cool to her, but when any of her friends are around, even one, there's no way I can be cool. There's no way. I just have to like get the fuck out of the room, like just go away. And remember how it was. I mean, imagine. You as a kid, and your dad comes in, it's like, "Hey guys, let's play a rock band." You know,
yeah,
you
but, just but be it's like, not like, oh, you're, but it's not like you're the lame dad who
all dads are lame.
But all dads are lame.
Who's like faking it? Like you actually legitimately know. You know more about games than any of these fucking kids.
Right, I do, and that's what drives.
They hate that the most.
Right, that's what my kid hates the most. And actually, the other thing that happened this weekend, which hadn't happened before, is I had all my CDs out, and a couple of her girlfriends were over, and I heard them saying, I was in the kitchen, and I heard her friend saying, like, "Man, your dad has some really cool music." And she was just like, "Oh, God, he doesn't." And she likes all that music, too. It's just it's just the way it works.
Yeah.
And that's all fine.
Will, I forgot to restart the timer, so I'm just doing a guesstimate and starting at 1:45.
I actually have a timer on the GarageBand, I realized.
Oh, okay, so you don't need me anymore.
You can keep doing it. It's not a bad idea because I'll
do it. Oh, that's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
We're clipping somewhere pretty hard, but it'll work itself out, I guess.
Okay.
By the time they get to this point in the podcast,
excellent coffee.
Care,
what are you eating over there, Jeff?
Excellent
almonds.
Oh, they're really, you should get, they're really good.
Those are they really good?
Almonds. I recommend pass them along. We have some jerky as well.
Oh, nice.
Want some of that?
What's the count at now? The money.
Someone needs to do it because my totalizer is
16,000.
Wait, say again?
Just off the chip
in.
And another 1,000 from the whiskey
store.
That's
awesome. That's a testament to your listeners.
And we're only six hours in.
I mean, we've had great guests today too.
Yeah, I think we're providing pretty solid entertainment for free.
Dumb, but I mean, we're for free.
Almonds are good.
What do you think? Who's been the weakest guest so far?
Oh shit!
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
I mean,
no, it's fun putting the boot in. What?
Besides you?
Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying.
Not so hot. I mean,
no, I mean
better.
I'm being, I'm obviously just being silly, but actually, I think we've been for all our guests have been
wonderful.
I'm chewing into the mic.
You have to stick.
Hum, hum.
I don't have a choice. I'm on the log.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I've been prompted by Owen Douglas. You guys know Owen, right? Do you know Owen?
Yeah.
He works for Ozone.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Every time I say either the word flabbergasted or ozone, he donates $1 to Child's Play.
Hmm.
I don't know if that counts for you guys, too, if you say it. I also don't know if it counts that I described it. Like, I just said it back then.
Did you right.
Does he owe $2?
Right.
I think so. I think that definitely counts.
I'm flabbergasted to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
$3, buddy.
If you say that the source of the ozone smell in this ozone-y room is flabbergasting me, that seems like $3-4 right there.
Do you think that – so I bought one of those Sharper Image Ionic Breezes back in the day. One of those ozone-generating things.
I'm flabbergasted that you would do that.
Well, you know, I really liked it, and I have to say I was flabbergasted to learn that they were apparently bad for you.
And bad for the ozone.
And bad for the ozone.
Very
yeah,
bad for the ozone.
I liked it because it made my room smell like a hot tub.
Hold on. Why are they bad for the ozone?
Because it flabbergasts the ozone.
Oh, come on. Really? That is flabbergasting.
I'm flabbergasted by your gratuitous use of the word ozone and flabbergasted. Why do hot tubs smell like ozone?
Because ozone is delicious. I don't know, but it's hot tubs.
What is
it's not
it?
Hot
pretty
talk.
Good,
right? These almonds are awesome.
They're fantastic almonds.
Yeah,
you know the original singers of the Numa Numa song called Ozone.
Really?
Really?
That's flabbergasting.
We could do this all night.
You know, the smoked almonds remind me of Piedmont Airlines. You guys remember Piedmont?
No.
They were between
no.
Pan Am and US Air. It was an East
really?
Coast thing, I guess.
Mm. Oh, no.
Were they? Was it back then when you could get like model airplanes from the airlines?
Oh, the first time I went on an airplane flight, I went up in the cockpit and they were like, "Here's your wings. Would you like to sit in the co-pilot's chair?" So I sat in some strange man's lap.
Really?
Yeah. It's perfectly normal.
And then you took control of the plane.
Yeah.
Now they can't do that anymore.
No, there's a
terrorist. I was four.
I was thinking about Midnight Run the other day. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, excellent.
And in that movie, when Robert De Niro's flying to New York to like whichever way he goes, and he's stolen this FBI ID and he's kind of cutting out the photo of Yaphet Kotto and replacing it with his own picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's doing it with a scalpel and like you couldn't do that. He's sitting on the plane with an X-Acto knife.
That's four different kinds of wrong.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. How much our world has changed.
Yeah. You can't wear shoes.
I don't even remember what it was like flying. Do you remember what it was like flying on a plane before 9/11?
Yeah.
Like when you just walked onto a plane.
I remember you could walk up to the gate.
Meet people
with
right
your
at
friends.
The gate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like when I was young, I remember walking like we didn't drive out into the tarmac. It wasn't like that, but literally like the airport. I grew up in a small town.
Yeah.
Our like county airport
right.
was like three gates. You drive up, the metal detector would sometimes not be manned. Like sometimes it'd just be like, no, just go on through. There's nobody here.
Yeah.
And now that's unimaginable.
And I wore an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time.
It's true, Grandpa.
No, that year was the year I decided to go to Space World, TGS, and ECTS, which were all real close together. And I ended up staying in London for like another week after ECTS. So it was like this weird time of like – in London at that time, they had already like, you know, there's no garbage cans in the airport because people put bombs in them.
Yeah.
And you're walking around going like, oh, how quaint, how weird, terrorism. It's so crazy. And then get back and like 3 days later, like, oh, we're part of the rest of the world now.
Yeah.
Guess I'll go to Tokyo on an airplane. Like, yeah, I ended up flying. Like,
it felt like flying was real scary. I remember flying to I don't remember where I was going, someplace for work, New York or something.
Mm.
And literally, like, the plane crashed in New Jersey. And they grounded every plane in North America as a result. It was that, you know, into Newark. And so we were in someplace outside of Denver, Boulder or something, for like 6 hours.
Just hanging out?
Just for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, because it could have been.
A pretty good reason.
By the way, I know that
okay
decent
I know that we have more to add on, but on the official totalizer, we just passed $16,000.
That's awesome.
Amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, let's go back to the 30-minute check-ins. We don't want to check in too much, or else the
okay. Well, I want to be putting you past a big milestone like that.
Yeah, like every $5.
By the way, I know I give you a lot of shit, Will, but you do make a good cup of coffee.
Fuck yeah, I make a good cup of coffee.
Yeah,
that's an important skill. It's one of the most crucial.
It's a great coffee.
I have to put up with a lot of his coffee snobbery because I like to make automatic coffee. Yeah. And Will is one of the here. Will is one of these fancy gourmet bean grinders.
I had an uncle that just started drinking cold instant coffee because it was the shortest path.
It's real hot.
So he was just like stirring it into cold water and just drinking it because he just wanted it immediately and had no quality filter.
That is what this could be an age thing too. But that's what I remember. Like when I started drinking coffee, you know, late high school. Like that's all there was back then. There was like Folgers in this country. In this country,
they had beans.
Well, they had beans, but nobody did that. That's like what Euros did. And well, you know, that is not what a real American.
Now we've moved to the point where people go backpacking and grind their own beans.
You could spread.
I think the coffee obsession is a little weird. As someone who does not drink very much coffee, like it is like any other drug habit where you start to accessorize.
Well, now it's a fetish.
Like, now this is shaped like the Enterprise, and then the coffee beans here. And then
I'm with you. And I'm a total coffee addict, and so is my wife. But we went to the Ferry Building over here in San Francisco this weekend.
Blue Bottle.
And we went to Blue Bottle.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
It is good, but it's a little ridiculous. I mean, it was $2.75
for a drip cup of coffee. About how they roast the beans. The beans are always never more than like 48 hours old and stuff like that.
So we had to wait in a long line. We were all
– That Ferry Building is the worst coffee shop experience in San Francisco, by the way. There's too many people there. And I'm going to say controversial shit on the internet. I find that the people there are kind of assholes.
Who work there?
The people who go there. There's not a customer service mentality.
Anytime you get into one of these scenes, whether it be coffee or wine or beer,
heroin,
like high-end stuff, heroin, crack – There's a certain kind of hipster poser element to it, right?
I have a very ornate crack pipe that I use.
Oh, like with Daffy Duck on the end?
Yeah.
Oh, those are good.
It's very cool. Well, I have that one. I have a shelf of those.
And you only smoke like single source fair trade crack?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, none of this cruelty. I smoke cruelty-free rock cocaine.
Fair trade crack where the crack...
I don't know. It doesn't seem like...
The fair trade is like, give me all this crack, I'm going to hit you.
No, I mean, if the cocaine was fair trade cocaine, then why not?
The whole business just doesn't seem like a very fair trade to me.
No, not really.
You don't like this, I'm going to kill you. That's how it works.
That would be fair. You know, I just
Vinny
watched...
Caravella is the same person as leaving.
Hi, Vinny. Vinny will be leaving us.
Thank you, Vinny Caravella, for all your help making this magic happen.
So if we have another technical problem, we're screwed.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we're screwed.
Are we able to open doors for people?
Somebody's going to have to run. Okay. Can you bring us a cordless phone? Actually, the cordless phone that works
the almonds
front door.
Back the other way.
More nuts, anyone?
I was so happy that they're salted.
Or a baby bell?
Yeah. Oh, I want unsalted peanuts are kind
that's
of just wrong.
Oh, yeah, are you saying yes or no?
No, I'm
with the salt.
Dry roast with the salt.
Yeah, that's where the real money magic happens.
Soap?
But unsalted, that's like the kind of thing that my wife will buy.
Yeah, it's bad.
Because he's like worrying about my heart. And I'm like, really? Fuck.
Well, the thing is,
you're breaking my heart by bringing home unsalted nuts.
At this point, you're a good 10, 12 years away from being clear. Like, once you get past a certain point.
Is that right?
Yeah, everything's okay.
Is it more just because you're so close to death it doesn't matter?
I don't know.
Like something else is more likely to get you first? Is that?
I think there's a lot of shit that can go wrong in like your 50s and 60s. And then once you get past that.
Uh-huh.
That everything's then, yeah. Then you're like,
yeah, but then it gets replaced by all kinds of other problems.
Yeah,
old age, just old man problems.
Well, right. Let's change the topic.
Yeah. Back to the. So for me, the coffee.
I want to enjoy this hour.
For me, the coffee thing is really like I like having a morning ritual. I don't do heroin. Don't smoke crack.
Heroin is a bad morning ritual. You don't get anything done.
Right. I don't recommend that. Fuck up the rest of your day. But a nice cup of coffee, I spend 4 or 5 minutes, I pour the thing, and, you know, I get to enjoy it until, like, noon. Because I put in my Zojirushi thermos.
Wow.
And, I drink it all day long. It's
Zojirushi is an amazing piece of technology.
Isn't it just a thermos, or what?
Well, Will can explain.
It's a Japanese magic thermos.
It's much better than
like, a
tenth thermos.
Of an atmosphere, something pressure in the gap. And literally, I did crazy tests on it. I measured the temperature in here every 20 minutes for like 12 hours or something because I like suffering, really.
Yep.
And the temperature declines at a ridiculous rate. And it has a mouth.
So it's just a good thermos.
It's a really nice thermos. And you can drink out of it because it has like a cup on the
top. If it's something to do with coffee and Will recommends it, you can bet that he's stripped it down to pieces, rebuilt it. He's given it a thorough examination.
Okay.
It's just too small.
It's a liter. It's a half a liter.
Yeah.
You can get bigger ones. I like the half liter.
I need one that holds about 40 ounces.
Okay. What would you put in a 40 ounce Zojirushi thermos, Jeff?
A 40 ounce.
Okay. Of like a 40 of
King Cobra.
Okay. It's yeah. good to know. Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to put stuff that has fizz in sealed vacuum bottles.
That's this, cool. I'll just drink it well, straight out the this bottle. This would be a good way. It's been working for me so far.
This would be a great way to tote around your Four Loko incognito.
Yeah, that's yeah, true. Right? That's,
who would know?
Yeah.
You don't need a brown paper bag.
I'm down to...
This is like the classy hobo accessory.
I'm very nearly out of the pre-ban old Four Loko formula.
The stuff with both
I've never tasted that.
And energy, yeah.
What does that stuff taste like?
Like paint thinner?
Disgusting.
Like citrus paint thinner.
Citrus paint.
I would say brake cleaner.
So it's got a fruity
yeah,
taste.
Sort
it's
of
got a brake
clean.
Cleaner nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. It's
tinny.
It's bad. It's bad for you.
Uh-huh.
It's a bad drunk. You know, like sometimes you drink something that just, it gets you like a, if not anger, then some kind of like aggression.
Uh-huh.
Like you really, like you sort really of thing don't
want. What the fuck are you talking
bites.
About?
Yeah.
I don't want to try it.
No. You don't want anything to do with it, trust me.
Yeah, but so it's just Red Bull and vodka distilled down to its cheapest form.
Got I want
to
ask Jeff.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask him about that thread on NeoGAF?
Oh, no, I wasn't going to, but let's do that.
That was like the number one thing that people asked.
Jeff has been my personal hero for many years for many reasons, but chief among them recently was your absolute point-by-point demolition of a journalist who wrote the most pointless and silly article about Diablo 3 that's probably ever infested the internet. And then to compound matters, he came out and stuck to his guns and tried to take down his detractors.
You just don't understand.
And you just stepped into the ring and just took this fucking guy to pieces.
Yeah,
it was quite the thing. I mean, if somebody wanted to read it, I guess they would go to NeoGAF and find the thread.
It's in the chat,
I think. And
okay, people are posting there. It was one of the greatest internet beatdowns I've ever seen. If I had to DM Thanks, Jeff Gary. On Twitter after reading it, saying you can dine out on that for a long time.
Yeah, you did. I actually got the response was kind of overwhelming. I wasn't expecting it because I didn't like step up to the plate to like
You were trying to make a statement.
I was just pissed off. I wasn't trying to like here.
As a gamer, you were annoyed.
I was
right?
just pissed. I mean, actually, I think the guy actually is. I think he's not actually working there anymore. So we don't want to beat him down too much. I don't think it's because of this.
Okay.
I don't want to kick a puppy. You anything.
Posting the story was one thing, and everyone makes errors in judgment.
Like
you post a bad story, that's fine.
Wasn't he relatively new on the job?
Yeah, he was relatively new. I'll tell you what made me mad. I'm cutting you off. It's what you were about to say. The story was one thing. I mean, it was a boneheaded story, but who amongst us has not written a boneheaded story?
We've all written
story?
Something stupid at one point or another.
Right, definitely I have.
What was the point of the story?
The point of the story was he had gotten access to the Diablo 3 beta. And this was, I guess we won't say the site. We don't need to. But this was going to be their first look, or maybe it's not. I don't know.
I don't care.
It was
matter.
His first impressions of the Diablo 3 beta. And what he chose to write about was, should Diablo 3 have been a first-person perspective game? He had never played Diablo 1 and 2. He went into it sort of skeptical because he doesn't know anything really except first-person games. And so he was skeptical that this thing was going to work for him in this weird isometric perspective.
So all of his experience with Diablo was from like hype building for Diablo 3, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole point of the story just seemed to be kind of pointless because he proposed a question.
Yeah.
And then point by point illustrated why the question.
Yeah, he refuted his own question. So when he gets to the end, he's like, "Yeah, they probably should have just done it this way."
So
like a really empty thought exercise. At the end of it, you're like, "Oh, what?"
If I said to you, Jeff, here's the summation of the story.
Just let's do it. Act it out.
Should Diablo 3 be a first person game instead of isometric 3D? Probably not.
Probably not.
Now take that and make 3,000 words out of it.
It was
that's the story
words?
That you get.
Well, yeah.
It was way longer than it is.
And at no point did he say, "Well, I played Hellgate London and that was sure stupid, so obviously this wouldn't work."
Right. That was also kind of no recognition. And keep in mind that this is the editor-in-chief of the site.
Oh, wow.
So this was also kind of getting at me because I used to be an editor-in-chief and it's PC gaming. And I just felt like this is what's happened to the thing I used to do. Was kind of like he was – his comments about isometric perspective made it clear he like didn't – it's not that he'd never played it. It's like it was like new. Like this wasn't the kind of gaming that's been around for like decades
right,
now.
Right. Yeah.
And also like the assumptions he was making about it as well.
It just
like
didn't make sense.
Within his within the arguments themselves, he was saying things like Diablo 3 doesn't seem like it's going to be hard because of this perspective. Because in first person, you have things like cover, a cover system. Well, I can't do that because of this isometric perspective. And it was just like, what the fuck,
dude? I think, you know, maybe like, he's just looking at, like, what happens when old games get made today. You know, he took a look at XCOM, took a look at Syndicate, and went like, oh, well, yeah.
We've all been there. We've all written stupid articles. It was more to do with the fact that once people were calling him on
this
that article was stupid, he went on Twitter and started accusing these people of being fanboys for pointing out the fact that his article was ridiculous.
Right. Now, that's where I got mad, because I read the article like everyone else did, and like everyone else,
would you say
basic,
you were flabbergasted?
I was flabbergasted. My head was like just shooting through the ozone with...
ridiculous.
Anyway, but, you know, like everyone else, I was just talking amongst my friends and on Twitter, like, going, what a moron. Can you believe that guy? But I wasn't going to say anything in public. It's like, whatever. But it was then that he was on NeoGAF, and this post that I responded to, the one that I blew up about, was where he just – it was just this most, like, totally condescending, just kind of flip, like –
Like,
well, if
oh,
you had actually bothered to read through the whole thing, you would know that I actually agreed with you all. And I was like, no, you fucking moron. We did read the whole thing. That was the whole problem. It was – the problem was that
you made us read this.
The problem was you made us read it. Yeah. It was, right. And it was just kind of – it was just a very condescending, and his tweets around the same topic were also condescending. And I just felt like you need to shut up and just listen for a second and listen to me. Not that I particularly know anything. I just was angry. Yeah. I just like, you know what? Just fuck you. I'm just going to like sit here and type this thing. And so I wrote it just genuinely from the heart. Like, I just wanted – if you will please pay attention to me for 5 minutes. And I tried not to be too profane like I'm being right now. And I tried not to
well
be
behaved.
I try not to be too name-call-y, whatever. I just wanted to like, here's why people are so mad at you. And here's why I think you could actually handle this entire situation much better.
But no, I read the post. I was like, and the subtext I was getting was, this is why you're an asshole, why you don't realize it. And it was really kind of the
point.
Needs more of that,
right?
So similar thing happened to me with regards to Batman reviews. I don't know if you saw any of this stuff going around.
Yeah,
but
We've just been kind of fucking around the office all day today.
This was last week. Okay. So the first review for Arkham City hit in an official magazine out of Australia.
Okay.
And it got, I believe, a 10. It got their highest score, or you know, whatever. It got our highest score. That's not the big deal.
It's the greatest game ever made, is what you're saying.
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
There it is. Box score.
There it is on the back of the box. Sure.
Bomb.
Why not? 5 stars. So I guess, you know, as people do when an exclusive an official magazine gets any sort of exclusive, they go, oh, of course the official book is going to say this.
Because it's such a fucking platform exclusive.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Well,
it's not like Uncharted 3 or.
Right. So
Halo
this guy's
or
response was he took to, I guess, his blog. And this went around, like I said, last week. And basically said, like, you stop being jerks, you jerks.
I saw that.
And wrote this big, long thing. About how that's ridiculous that anyone would be on the take, like, you know, like almost this kind of how dare you attitude about it.
Yeah.
But that's not the part that's bad. There's a paragraph in there where he basically says, like, you know, we worked really hard to get this exclusive review. We earned this exclusive review.
And that already makes you wonder, like, what do you have to do?
Yeah.
Who are you
fellating? And then he says, we got the game with 2 days before copy had to be done. I didn't have time to finish it.
But then
I did finish it after turning in the review, and here's the text message I sent. Forget a 10. We should have given it an 11. Okay, so.
But it gets better. But wait, there's more.
Already super stupid. Already coming out and saying, like, we had 2 days, didn't finish the game.
Yeah.
And he basically said, like, that's the realities of print. Sometimes it's less than ideal. It's like, well, okay, yeah, print totally sucks.
Right.
Fine.
You're kind of already at the please
you're
stop already, talking thing.
Yeah.
You're wrecking your point.
You're not helping.
Yeah.
But so then we get our copy of Batman in here, and I played through it in about a day and a half, saw through the entire story, saw the vast majority of the side content, and still had time to write the review. So
you're saying this guy's bad at games.
So I'm saying that this notion of like getting this exclusive and earning it and really working hard and really wanting to do a good job for your cover story and then not finishing the game.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said for not finishing games. If you want to come out and say that and write your reviews that way, that's fine. But to take a game that is like this, like
high profile.
You know, not super long.
Yeah.
Right.
A game that is very finishable.
How long did it take you?
I'm estimating the main story had taken people about 10 hours. I spent about 15 with it.
Mm-hmm.
And completed a ton of the side mission story arcs, like over half of those, and saw every single one of them in some capacity. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't go collect every Riddler trophy, but no one does that.
You don't need to do that for a review.
Yeah, exactly. That's not something that you do in a review. So this notion of just like, you know, well, you know, we had to – making it sound like you're cutting a ton of deals to get the game in the first place and then doing like a super half-assed job and then getting super pissed when anyone calls you on the shady nature of exclusive reviews or shady-looking nature of exclusive reviews
– And then I always wanted to get
And then the last paragraph, who knows if he's kidding or not.
Oh my God.
But he went out and said, like, for those of you accusing me of writing a review in such a way to get on the back of the box, you're absolutely right. It's been a dream of mine.
Holy shit!
What? Yeah.
What? How do you come out and say that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, what part of?
Yeah.
Like, how do you get this to this point where you're writing cover stories for an official publication and then? At the end of that process, you're like, yeah, I just wanted to get on the box.
Now, that obviously, that is not the way to do it. But what's interesting, just in general...
Yeah, you say, yeah,
I'm going to steer it back towards...
Right.
I'm going to steer it back towards old man chat a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
I think almost all of us, certainly, I know Jeff and I did, and I think maybe some of you guys did as well. Like, we came up through print magazines, actually even pre-internet, when like the level of reader interaction was you would write your magazine, it would go off every month, and every few days or so you would go over to the mailbox, open a few letters, stamped letters,
right.
And see and fill them in, and maybe write a response for the letters page.
Yep.
And now obviously you put a review up, and within minutes people are criticizing and critiquing it and telling you that you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And there's just, and obviously you've got the right to reply to that. And so these people, it's easy to get caught up. You're responding to the readers, and it's easy to get into this kind of morass of trying to defend yourself. And obviously there's ways to do it.
It's very easy to get hung up in that stuff. It can be, you have to, I feel like you have to develop that thick skin like very quickly, or you're not going to get it at all.
Yeah, you really do. But you know, we all succumb to it. I mean, every once in a while, you know, I have been known to, you know, I'll see my name randomly. I did this a little while ago on a NeoGAF thread where someone said something about me, and the thread wasn't actually about me, but I saw my name and it was like a negative thing, and I went, hey! And so I logged in and I responded, and I was like, what was the point of that? Because there were other people in the thread who were actually saying nice things about me, but I let one dude get to me. You know?
The thing is, you can't let that one guy get to you.
I mean, you can't.
You have to walk
away.
Basically, like, I think for me it ends up being like once – twice tops per year that someone will say just the right thing at just the right time that it'll actually get through.
Right. I mean, you know, what I like to say to some people about that is like, you know, most people don't live where, you know, most – we all have jobs. You all go to work. But most people don't have someone going like, man, that guy's a fucking dumbass in public about the job they're doing.
Sure.
You know? And
I feel like the world might be a better place if it happened.
It might be.
You think about shit a lot more when you know that that's the outcome if you mess up.
Yep.
Or even if you say something without completely backing up every step of your argument.
It raises the stakes, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, you're getting into arguments on the internet is obviously such a futile exercise that really the best thing you can do is just stay well away. And I say that in the most hypocritical way possible because I get caught up in it all the time.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's really easy to ignore. But, you know, once or twice, something.
And what's kind of funny about that guy's post, too, is like, you know, at – its core, his central argument is kind of true, right? I mean, there, at least my experience, there was no take that, you know, this just didn't happen. And so his anger at being accused of that in general, in a, you know, all things being equal, is kind of chill. Like, that was a part as a game journalist I could go, right on, dude. But like two paragraphs in, you start going, oh.
Right.
Wait. Stop talking.
So, like maybe that part's fine, but everything else you said is way worse.
Right. Well, you're proving the point, you moron.
And it's entirely possible that he was being sarcastic with the stuff like the box quote.
It's hard to know.
That's totally,
but he didn't put the appropriate emoticons to communicate that in text form.
I'm anti-emoticon. Like,
I am
I'm
too.
Of the mind that, like, if you don't get it, fine. Like, I'm not going to spell it out for you.
When you say something that's potentially as dumb as that's taken the wrong way, then you should not say it.
You have to be better at how you say stuff.
Yeah. There was actually a guy at Ziff Davis. I don't want to name his name because he
why not? We've been doing that all
the time. No, I can't.
It's for charity.
I just can't do it. I can't do it.
Was it Tom Edwards?
Was it a console guy or a PC guy? Come on.
It was a console guy.
Okay. Okay.
Who just had a reputation for writing like fairly dickish emails to people on staff, but ending it with an emoticon, as if that would somehow, you know.
It fuses everything. The right. Smiley face.
Sure.
The wink, right?
You're fired.
No, so, just kidding.
Just kidding. The only other thing I wanted to rant about tonight, I had no agenda.
Is
except
this still, elevator?
It was, oh, God. No,
oh,
it was,
that,
it was,
you got to tell
we
that
We can talk about that.
That's great.
My boss actually got stuck in it, but I can go back to that. But it was just about the Batman. It was related to Batman. So it was just talking about it today on Twitter. I found out just through Twitter that it's not shipping simultaneously on PC,
right. Yeah.
Which, you know, that's what I want to play it on. Mm-hmm. So I found that out, and then someone on Twitter after I found that part out said, oh, yeah, and by the way, it's Games for Windows Live.
And you start to wonder if those are connected, if it's like held up in the Microsoft cert process because a billion games are trying to get through there.
It could be. Yeah. But you know, but I said on Twitter that I felt like Games for Windows Live was the Hector Tio Salamanca of gaming at this point.
Now, if you careful, because they haven't seen – they don't watch
– Right. No, it has nothing to do with what – when any particular plot point.
Okay.
I just felt it was like this like handicapped –
I don't know what he's talking about.
Bad reference.
Handicapped, yeah. Wheezing, drooling, bitter old man. You know, and every time GFW loads, it's like, you know, Tio Salamanca ringing the bell, you know. Because it's just like – well, it just made me – I don't think about GFW that much, thank God. But it made me realize it still existed today when this came up on Twitter. And I was just like, fuck, why does it still exist? Like, can't they fucking kill it? Like,
well, it's a zombie.
No one likes it.
They haven't gotten the headshot.
No one likes it. It's like they're keeping it alive out of spite.
But people like achievement points.
But do people like GFW – achievement points?
They tie into your Xbox points,
it's
so it's all
answer.
One points.
I mean, you
like
have
Brad is going to wait for PC, and I think one of the
because of that,
Brad's going to play it twice.
Yeah, Brad will probably end up playing it twice. Yeah. But
I'm fine with Steam.
It makes easier for some people, I think. Steam,
they're valueless.
It's not the same.
Well, I know they are, but I don't care about any achievement.
Yeah.
What I'm saying,
I think
that's
the one thing that
GFW Live
is nice about Games for Windows Live is the points thing. For people that are already bought into that ecosystem in some way, like, that's okay.
I kind of like the idea that if I choose to play Batman on my PC, which I may do because best-looking version, I can still get the Xbox points, right? It all funnels into one
pot. And if you wanted to be super crazy, you could play it twice.
Don't care about Steam points?
Double points.
That's there true. Are no Steam points.
I mean, Steam points, period.
Or Steam achievements.
The thing is, because Steam achievements aren't tied to a completely arbitrary and valueless metric,
right,
they're much less valuable than Xbox achievements.
Right.
And I realize that this is really dumb.
It's super dumb.
It is just in your head for people who like to compete on meaningless leaderboards. Like the Geometry Wars leaderboards are awesome, right? I love going into Geometry Wars 2 and seeing that, I'm better than everybody except for Brad and two other people who I don't, one of them I don't know because he's probably from the Shaq News or something. But the achievement score on Xbox is an incredibly powerful thing for the type of people to get hooked into that. And I'm one of those people. I like to look at see that I have 30,000 achievements. Like, I hit 30,000 achievements. I was like, that is a lot of people for a dude who plays games 30, as much 000. As me. And then Jeff has 150,000 or something ridiculous.
Let me just point out that my rant about this it's not tied in any way to the fact that the GFW initiative helped close down my magazine.
Sure.
Right.
I was going to say, I mean, do you have, like, Vietnam flashbacks or something?
I kind of do. But this is – I mean, I do hate that interface. I hate the whole fact that it even exists.
It's
poorly
integrated.
I just want to play my stuff on Steam. But you know, the GFW experience in terms of the magazine was –
The point has been made many times before
you said that.
By myself on many occasions. But I think it's so egregious that it bears repeating that I think that what Steam did is a huge embarrassment to Microsoft. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft
totally.
Should have been doing
Microsoft should
that.
Have been doing it.
They came up with such a fantastic system for Xbox Live. Their inability to bring that to Windows in any way that made sense. And
they're still
Steam
unable to do
how
it.
And they still keep trying. Like Windows 8 is going to integrate it even deeper, right?
I mean, yeah, well,
and we're all still going to either be pissed or not give a shit.
They're going to change
except
it
for some people who like achievements.
Yeah.
And it'll still never get total penetration either. Because most of the developers...
right, because everyone's on Steam.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Steam
all
won
Steam,
already.
Steam works Steam
that's
totally
won. That is the thing that pisses me off. That's why I compare it to Hector Salamanca, like who's off in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a Breaking Bad reference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this guy has been exiled from life, basically. And that's what this thing is. Like, no one gives
point,
a shit
Steam,
about it.
Steam
well,
is like,
won.
Steam is like the iTunes and Amazon of PC gaming combined.
Right.
Like, they just own it, right?
They own it.
And you know how they owned it? By doing it better than anyone else.
Right.
That's all you got to do.
By doing it better than anyone else. It was just by doing it.
Well, they tied it to Half-Life 2.
Huh?
They tied as Half-Life 2.
Well, I mean, having fantastic games definitely helps. You know, putting, Shadowrun on PC and saying, that ain't the way to do it.
Cross-compatible Shadowrun. It's a bad game. You can play on either platform.
Shadowrun wasn't the problem. The problem was a four-year-old Halo 2 that was exclusive to Vista for no reason than they wanted to make people buy Vista to play Halo 2 on the PC.
Like, people came out with cracks to make it run on Halo XP. 2 on the They're like, PC. Look, man, they hacked out the Vista exclusivity.
But the thing is, I guess the other question is, was it even necessary? I mean, did we feel like people needed to be convinced to keep playing PC games? We hear all this stuff all the time, but PC game, go to Steam, PC gaming looks pretty fucking healthy to me.
It does.
I think it's very different, though, than it was.
It is different. Yeah.
It's changed a lot.
The thing I keep thinking about, and I haven't like worked out how to convey it in my head 100%, but if you think about it, the PC won. The platform war. The PC won in that its developers went on and found the way to make money on consoles. And now all those PC developers are off making some of the best work they've ever made. You know, Epic and plenty of Gearbox having, you know, huge success on consoles. Like all these kind of classic PC exclusive developers from that era are now making, you know, hand over fist money on consoles.
The only one that hasn't is Blizzard and I mean Valve is
Kind of the only ones left. You used to be able to include it on that until Rage.
Right.
Well, Blizzard and Valve are seem to be like the only AAA kind of PC, and even Valve now obviously is multi-platform.
And I am not going to be surprised when Diablo 3 shows up on consoles.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that at this point in my life. I don't think that's a big deal. I like basically consider myself platform agnostic with a nice, you know, with a history and a heart towards PC.
Yeah, the good games are where they are, and I don't give a shit where that's to be found.
And the PC is like getting great in an entirely different way.
Different way.
Smaller games from teams that have a lot of heart and a lot
Terraria,
of passion.
Well,
yeah, Terraria just like
was a great one. We'll never see on Xboxes.
Yeah, that can't work within the confines of any closed system.
Minecraft is a PC game, right?
League
of Legends and Dota. And
League of Legends.
Yeah.
Is it easy for us, though, to have this kind of highfalutin attitude of being platform agnostic? Because we all, you know, have good jobs and we've all worked in jobs where we have access all these games. If you have to make a choice which system to buy, you can't buy a 360 and a PlayStation. You've got to pick one and go with it. That tribalism
I'm not in the press anymore. So, like, at this point in my life, like, I buy every game.
I don't get them free.
How many consoles do you have in your house? You have a 360?
Well, I have them all.
So I have every generation. The luxury of being platform agnostic. Not everyone has that
you're
luxury.
Right. But I don't have the luxury of buying every game. I have to pick and choose.
You have to make those choices.
And when I pick and choose, I'm not thinking, I need a 360 game. I'm just thinking, like, I want to play Uncharted.
And at this time of year, when like all the great games are coming out at once, you do have to triage that stuff.
I do have to triage, but I'm not thinking about the platform at all.
But the only place that you really have platform issues is when you're talking about things that are owned by the first party. So Halo and Gears of War and Uncharted 3 and Resistance and Nintendo, Mario and Kirby and all the Nintendo stuff. Like, it's not like you lose Dark Souls or any of the other crazy stuff that's out just because you only buy an Xbox or only buy a PS3. The only people who really got screwed this generation are the ones who only bought Wiis,
even as a multi-platform gamer, if I'm going to buy a game that's like, I will pick up Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
And I'm trying, the better example is like a game that's like exclusive just to consoles, not on PC.
So Uncharted 3.
Well, no, because that's only, that's I'm thinking about a game that's like on
Gears
PC. No, Gears of War is only on 360.
Oh, right, okay.
But if I've got a choice, well, I'll give an example. I buy Tiger Woods games every year. I don't want to play those on my PC, especially because the PC version is shit.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll buy the 360 version, not because the 360 version's better, but simply and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with getting you entrenched in an ecosystem.
Right.
My gamer score is there. My friends are there. Yep. It's not the version is better, but I've got a sunk cost into that system, and that's how they get you.
It has the best Netflix out of all of them.
Yeah. That too. That helps.
Go right through the game and watching video.
Yeah.
It's funny because I'm a new PS3 owner in the last 6 months. I never had one until recently, and I actually am preferring it on a PS3. Netflix?
Really?
It's something about the controller or something. I'm just liking the interface better.
The other thing that happens is when you know, people buy in late when the price drops start hitting toward the end of the generation.
Yeah.
When I came in late to the PS2. I didn't buy a PS2 until Guitar Hero was out. And at that point, I was able to go back and buy, you know, Shadows of the Colossus and Katamari and all those games for like $10 a piece.
Yep.
It wasn't like I was buying cheap used games, but I was able to go out and buy real games, box copies, and you know, enjoy the entire generation in a really super compressed way toward the end. It's harder this generation because it's been a long
time. I am really trying to get over, like, day one itis.
Yeah.
Since I do have to buy them.
Yeah.
Because I get so caught up in it, and then I will buy it, and then I don't have time to play it.
Yeah. Well, these by the time you do get around to playing it, it's $30.
I might as well have just waited.
Right. And and also all your friends have migrated onto some other game, and there's no one left to play with.
And that's really the only reason to do it, is to sort of be part of the zeitgeist, right? Like, I'm going to play Batman now because we all are. And sometimes that is a good enough reason.
Whatever's happening
that
week.
And it is. Right. And especially if I know I'm going to be podcasting, or if it's something where I know I would like to weigh in, I will do it. But in general, I find now that I can wait and no harm done.
The only exception for me on that is multiplayer. So Gears of War I bought on day one because I knew he was going to want to play Ward.
Yeah. Sure.
And Brad and Vinny, and we all went out and had a really good
time.
And
we had fantastic times playing that game.
Yeah, it was really good.
Are you done?
No. I personally don't think I am. I think that game has a tremendous shelf life. But with a lot of games.
We said that about Gears 2 also.
Like Driver, San Francisco. That was the guy I bought that day one. Mm-hmm. Played it solidly for a week. Burned out the single player campaign. Wasn't particularly interested in multiplayer. I've moved on now. That game's just on a used pile.
Yeah.
But what I tell you what I find most amazing about games right now is, especially on consoles, like, we're so deep into this generation right now. Like, typically, we should be done, right? We should be looking at the next system.
Like, scarily deep right now. This feeling weird out here.
This deep in, you start to get that senioritis. You feel like the end of the generation. The games aren't as great as they were. Like, we're looking for the next thing. But we're this deep in. I'm looking at Uncharted 3 and Gears of War 3. The games are fucking better than they've ever been on this generation. Yeah. They're pretty. This deep in, I'm kind of amazed that we're the game. I'm looking at Gears of War 3 and raging, going, fuck, this is on a 6-year-old system. This game looks amazing.
Right.
Well, the only place it's starting to break down is when they're starting to bolt on weird features like 3D onto the existing platforms that really don't have the
power.
But you
can take it or leave it.
No doubt. I mean, that's the only time,
like,
I think
that's become the weird gimmick. Like, if people are hoping that's going to catch on, like, they missed the boat. It's not. Like, it's already seems pretty clear that. Like, I think they just announced today, like, Assassin's Creed Revelations. We got 3D also.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Jeff, what's your favorite game in this generation on consoles?
Oh, man.
Putting you on the
favorite
spot.
Favorite game on this. You know.
Which Jeff were you talking to?
Many years now. So you're talking about.
I'll throw open to both the Jeffs.
2005 on.
That's really hard.
I'm gonna throw one out there.
Kane and Lynch.
I'm gonna say Super Mario Galaxy.
Super Mario Galaxy. Oh, yeah.
Good one.
I think that's got to be in the top five games I've ever played, and I would put Uncharted 2 up there as well from this generation.
Yeah,
I was gonna actually say that.
I can only say that probably for a couple more weeks because Uncharted 3, I'm sure, is gonna blow it away and be the next amazing thing.
Hmm. I don't know. I've even though it's super flawed, like I think about Borderlands a lot.
I put more hours into Borderlands.
I probably put more hours into Borderlands and Burnout Paradise. Those are probably the two games.
Oh, I take it back. Burnout Paradise. I fucking love the Burnout games.
It's incredible.
Games. And as much as I enjoyed Hot Pursuit, which is incredible,
it's
got a Burnout with a different brand. But like, I wish they would just go back. Like Burnout 3, Takedown, and Paradise, best driving games I've ever played.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And Burnout Paradise came out at just the right time, wasn't working. So I had plenty of time to just sit there and just pump like 100 hours into that game over like 2 weeks or something.
And here's the
do every little thing.
And here's the crazy thing is, again, you realize you can't compete with these kids online, right? Tiger Woods and FIFA and Burnout, there's a very few games that I'm actually any good at anymore. I can't play the Twitch games. I'm still pretty good at driving games. I was actually pretty decent at Burnout Paradise. I go out by day one.
Yeah.
And I can't get a GameStop 10 a.m. I come home. I had the day off. Boot it up. I'm right. Get in there. And I'm looking at the leaderboards. What the fuck?
It's the problem with demos being out there is that everyone gets super good playing the demo, like at least the core
like
mechanics.
Kombat, the same thing happened to you.
With Mortal Kombat, it was the sort of thing like, and you know, I can't stick with a game for a long period of time because there's always going to be the next game to review and all that stuff. And you come back to Mortal Kombat a week later, and oh god, everyone has gotten so good that now it's not even worth playing anymore.
Somebody just threw Mass Effect 2 into the chat.
That was the one I was going to bring.
Unbelievable game.
Yeah.
One of the only like really epic type story driven games I've played all the way through twice,
I agree.
But multiple times.
Yeah.
And, because you just want to experience it again.
And Mass Effect 2 actually made me like Mass Effect 1. Which I did not like.
Okay, yeah.
And I actually never finished it. But Mass Effect 2 I thought was such an incredible improvement.
Did you play the Shadow Broker stuff? The DLC?
Yeah, I did, actually. I did.
So good.
I did. It took me a minute to remember it, but yes, I did.
Yeah, really amazing stuff.
Fallout 3 is worthy of mention, too, even though it's a kind of busted,
too broken.
Weird.
Too broken.
You think so?
I wouldn't put it on that level.
Still?
I don't think it's on
is
that
it still
level,
broken?
But it was quite good.
I'm sure it's been fixed up quite a bit.
I played it on PC instead of console, so I mean, I don't know if that counts.
I played it on PC long enough to...
to know that
pop down the console and unlock all the achievements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was how did that go for you? Pretty good.
They all popped.
That's awesome.
I got 1,000 points, and I was like. Okay.
You have to buy the DLC for that? I think they fixed
no,
that.
No, you didn't.
The,
yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. Well, awesome. You know, unfortunately, it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which
wow,
means,
really?
Well, I'm pretty certain that the chat would be happy to have these guys stay as long as they would want to.
Here's the thing. So Jeff
can hang a little bit.
Gordon and Dan are
both here.
Yeah, are both here. Dan's not scheduled for another hour. But maybe we can squeeze Gordon in on the end over there, and
or I could jump out if you want to get both of them in, or you know,
up to you.
I'm
is that
mic
live?
Be around?
I don't know how many people.
Yeah, we have another mic right here.
Yeah, we somebody needs to point the camera a little differently. But hey, Gordon, are you over there still?
They're sitting on the couch.
He's wandering, taking photos.
Hey, Gordon,
I'm gonna go get a drink. Do you want a soda in?
No, I'm
spying
good.
On our office. If you're just joining us, this is Oktobercast, our 24-hour live podcast marathon for Child's Play, for the kids. For charity, those are specimen jars on the table there.
Yeah,
I don't know what we've been doing, but you know the camera shows under the table. Also, you should know something to keep in mind.
All right, give these ladies a show.
It is. I haven't looked at the total lately. I'm gonna hit the chip in. Does anybody remember we were at like 17,000, 16,000 last time? I am reloading. If you would like to donate to Child's Play, which is a great charity for the kids, they give toys and books and games and and video games and stuffed animals and comic books and movies.
Kids in need.
And things to sick kids to help them get better faster. We're at 16.5.
I'm flabbergasted by that number.
It is a flabbergasting number, quite frankly.
Sky high. Pure ozone.
Pure ozone.
Yeah. I think I want to make ozone.
Should be an ozone
bar. Should be sky high from now on. Just to say, man, that is so ozone.
Strictly ozone.
strictly ozone. 16,500 plus another 1,000 or so from the Whiskey Media Store. If you want to donate, we have all the details on how to at tested.com/donate. If you're watching us on the Justin TV stream, if you're listening to us on the Mixler, I didn't know Mixler was a thing until day before yesterday.
Mixler.
Never heard of it.
I saw you talking about it. I went and looked it up. It seems okay.
What is it?
It's like Justin TV, but for audio.
Audio. Nice.
Yeah.
As soon as they can get that, as soon as they have some kind of iPhone app, that will...
You don't need an iPhone app. It's HTML5.
Oh, so I can...
You can
I don't want to listen. I want to broadcast from my phone.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
That's,
you have to download some shit.
I broadcast from my phone a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that with Audio Boo, but I don't think that is
it's
like
5 minutes.
Streaming.
It's not... Yeah. It's 5 minute chunks.
Yeah, that,
so
I looked at that, and at 5 minute chunks, it wasn't going to be a real good...
The 24 hours broken into 5 minute chunks.
Yeah, seemed,
maybe not
like
most
a
listenable
idea.
Thing.
Yeah. Bring Gordon in.
I brought a couple of show and tell things.
Okay,
and then I can leave after that. I just know.
We're not going to bump you for Stapleton, Jeff. You know, it's Dave.
Oh, it's a Stapleton.
Yeah, Stapleton.
Oh
it's
shit,
Stapleton.
Never mind.
Yeah.
They also want to hear you talk about the elevator.
I want to do the
reading. I want to hear about the elevator.
The elevator. Well, it's really it would really be better if I could actually just maybe I could bring up the elevator email because that would it's really just
if you have
reading
that capability
verbatim. Maybe I can try.
Was
that.
There a memo?
Phone or
Yeah, I could look on my. Hopefully, I didn't delete it.
Okay, I don't know where you're going to put the show and tell stuff, but
okay, maybe I should just hold
like
it.
That Zojirushi is in the
one of them.
Is the shot
I don't
right
know
now.
If you actually talked about if you guys talked about it yet, but as part of my birthday extravaganza, the missus gave me one of the new Kindles.
Oh yeah, we talked about this morning with Colin, I think. But
right,
yeah.
so I got the
$79
right there, deal.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Yeah, it's magic, right?
And I've never had a Kindle before, but I've had an iPad 1 for like a year now. Mm. And to me, that was like reason why I would never get a Kindle.
Yeah, but then you get the Kindle.
Right, because the iPad, actually I found out after a while that basically I was using the iPad for everything except reading a book.
Yeah, it's too heavy.
It's just too heavy. Yeah. And
even the iPad too,
and the eye strain was just too much. Now I like reading magazines, but books it was just no go. And so I was convinced, well, I'm just never going to be an e-reader of books. Mm-hmm. I like books anyway. I'm old. It's fine. I have an excuse. But I got tempted when with these new prices, like a lot of people,
$79 is
it's
hard,
ridiculous.
It's
so,
a game.
So I kind of hinted to my wife, and she got the hint, and so she got me this one. And it's amazing. I mean, the thing weighs like nothing, this new one.
Yeah.
And
we have the new Kindle. We should look at it.
Right. So
I just got one too. It's incredible.
It's incredible. I'm definitely sold. And this afternoon I was reading a little bit outside, something you can't do on the iPad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, she got me the ad based one,
which I actually think is great.
I have no problem with it. I was having some discussions on Twitter with some guys who were sort of saying, "Yeah, I don't want to be sold stuff." And I get it. I do, and I respect that. But like to me, it's so no big deal.
The ads are totally unobtrusive.
Yeah.
And sometimes the offers are actually things you might want.
Or exactly. And that's
the very first offer is
$5. What sort of things have you seen?
All kinds of stuff.
Like, you know, the new Kindle doesn't include the USB charger. The previous Kindle did.
Yeah,
there was
$10 on Amazon, but there is the ad that gives you $5 off.
And there was a coupon for like 20% off any headphones you buy on Amazon. Just things that you might actually want to
use. Yeah, there were a bit. And you know, when you're reading, there's no ads.
It's just a lock screen.
Yeah, it never comes in. When you turn the page,
there's a tiny little banner at the bottom.
Every fifth page.
Hey, friend, let me tell you
something. Yeah.
You should buy a Kindle.
As Ned Stark climbed the hill, he said, I need a cool, refreshing Pepsi.
Gordon Mullen, pull up a chair, sir.
Yeah, so that's that. I recommend. Also, people were asking me about the keyboard, the lack of a keyboard on this thing.
I'm glad it's
don't give a shit.
I was waiting for them to get rid of it before I jumped in.
Jeff, clear up. Is this your first?
I can slide over.
Is that your first Kindle, Jeff?
This is my very first Kindle.
Oh, you weren't here.
But I'm really liking it. Now, the only thing I'm thinking, though, still now is, like, now I have every gadget, too. And I travel all the time, almost every week or every other week, to PopCap. And I live on my iPad there. And now I feel like I'm going to have a little, you know, mental confusion of which of the toys am I going to use now. I mean, but part of the problem with the iPad was, in addition to the eye strain, was also the fact that when I would try to read on it, I knew there were so many other things I could also do on it.
Right. Too many distractions.
Many distractions.
And it's actually I'm a big fan of multifunction devices. I love the fact that my iPhone is my music player, my games machine, all these great things. But the Kindle has somehow clung on as like, I actually like that it's just for one thing.
Exactly. So if I could just make myself leave the iPad in my bag, then I could read on the plane and actually get some reading done.
Join us on Jeff Green's left.
We need to shift. Gordon's not in the shot, so we do need to try.
I set up the camera here.
Shifty up a little bit, but I can see what the camera
Gordon's alive now.
Gordon's not on it.
Well, he will be momentarily. That's the one, but this one, you're on both.
This is yours, by the way.
It's all good. Oh, thank you, sir. Gordon, welcome to the show. This is Gordon Mong. Gordon, we worked together for like 10 years. Let's not dwell on specifics. But Gordon is. Can we talk about that? What, you're an editor?
Yes.
Specific kind of editor at Maximum PC. I'm adjusting levels now, so I don't know how we're doing here. But it's good to have you here, Gordon. Welcome to the show.
How's it going? Hi, Gordon.
It's going good, man. We're like 7 hours in now. It doesn't feel like it's been seven hours.
How do you guys feel?
I feel pretty good.
All right.
I'm going to go get in that black blood of the earth in about 3 more hours.
I don't think you want that.
Thinking the 10-hour. Your eyes are real bloodshot now.
I got the buzz, the tired buzz.
Yeah, you're winding down.
Let's do a quick norm check-in. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
I kind of want to try that stuff.
You should. We have it in
the black blood?
Yeah.
I think you should go for it. Norm's left arm went numb.
Yeah,
Colin
said, I feel strange, and then he was making some strange-sounding tweets about ice cream later.
Yeah.
So I think it's good.
Yeah.
Go
What's
for it.
Norm on?
So there's this science coffee. It's called Black Blood of the Earth. A dude over in Berkeley makes it. And he makes it with, like, chemical fractionalization process and does a, like, long cold brew. So it ends up about 40 times stronger than normal coffee.
But doesn't taste bad.
It doesn't taste like gas station coffee. Because it's cold brewed. So
gas station coffee is the strongest coffee.
Oh, you and the fucking gas station coffee. After all, we had this argument so many times.
Gas station coffee is the strongest coffee.
Jeff, Gordon, Jeff, I don't know. I think you know, you probably know Jeff Green. I don't know. Jeff Green just walked away a minute ago. Dan Stablin's over on the couch. He'll be here later.
You mock this truck stop, the gas station coffee, but I would contend that if there's one group of people that know about strong coffee, it's long-distance truck drivers.
Yeah. And need the strong coffee.
And in fact, when you stop at these places, they actually have the carafe that is the extra fucking jolt mega coffee, caffeine.
If you're one of the truckers that is not hopelessly hooked on speed, this is the coffee for you.
Hey, man, don't knock speed.
If those bullshit herbal pills that they sell you don't
work,
coffee is really the only true thing that's going to keep
you going. You can't just cut open all those stacker twos and just, you know, snort all their insides.
Crush them up to defeat the time release. Yeah.
But it really is, though. I mean, think about it, because you get real coffee at Pete's or Starbucks. This is the top-end coffee, right?
Yeah.
And then,
until Blue Bottle came along.
Whatever. That's all, like, top grade. There's no caffeine there.
The straight juice.
So they take all the stuff that's left over on the floor, they sweep all that up, and then they make, like, coffee they serve in airlines. And then from the leftovers from that goes to the Army. And then leftovers from that is gas station coffee. That's just pure caffeine.
It's kind of like box wine.
You know, like in box wine, you can get really good wine because it's just leftover stuff. They don't bottle.
It's the best. Could, so that could,
I
really,
I think,
and you get some glass along with
it.
Yeah.
I mean, when somebody special comes over, I open the best box.
Hey, it's a bag in a box.
Yeah. Well,
damn, girl, you're looking so good. You're looking so right. I got to get out this box of wine.
Exactly.
It's a box of Franzia.
Yeah.
I remember I used to. Yeah. Never mind.
The best wine is carbonated wine.
I like the stuff with the bottle cap.
Okay, yeah, that's getting tweeted right now.
And if you take the Four Loco and leave it in the freezer for a couple of days, it just turns into a bad slushy.
Look at this.
Wow.
Wow.
I found an ancient business card.
Can we get that on the other camera?
Associate editor.
Back it up just a little bit. It'll be clear.
It's my first, first job at Computer Gaming World. I didn't bring this on purpose. This just slipped out of the book that I brought.
Is your phone number in there?
Probably it is. Right, you should call it. See what happens.
Yeah, see who's there now.
See if any assholes are still Ziff Davis, still, you know, stealing money.
Is there any left to steal?
Yeah. No, they took it all.
Yeah, it's all they're tapped out.
So I want to give the lovely and genteel Dan Stapleton a turn at the mic. So I'll wind up.
Well, he's booked until like 1 o'clock in the morning at this point.
Is he really?
So, yeah. Don't tell. We didn't tell him that. But
so what my business card fell out of was one another show and tell thing.
Okay.
I can only bring seriously old school.
Wow.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. The original InvisiClues hint booklet.
Do you have to have the thing over the
or is it like, was it with a pen?
It's with a marker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some readers probably don't even know what this is.
Okay. So Hitchhiker's Guide, I switched back already, but Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Infocom game was one of the classic like Zork style
text adventures.
I've never seen this before.
You had to put the satchel over the grate and then hang the towel from the hook, so and then the fish would hit the towel and drop, and then not go in the grate,
and then
you could put it in your ear.
Yeah, if you want to switch back one more second. So this is the hint book.
Yep.
And
so the hints, you have to write your own hints in?
No, the
clues are there.
It's invisible ink.
Yeah, you go over it with a special pen and the clue is revealed.
Is it like any kind of pen or is it like a lemon juice pen?
I couldn't remember, but you know.
Wasn't it like a pen that came with it?
It was a pen that came with it. And actually says.
Oh, we can actually see some of the revealed clues.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm a nitwit and didn't change the camera.
Okay,
here, hold on.
You want to do that
again? Show again, yeah.
Okay, so here's what a blank page.
So for the people listening to this later when there's no video, it's a box, it's a page that says On the Earth. And then it says the question, how do I turn the lights on after I wake up? And then there's a big empty space. A square.
And so this thing, InvisiClues, it's called.
Yeah.
It came with
this
a pen.
This is the future of hint guides.
The future.
They're bringing it back.
This is the ancient past.
Yeah, Prima is all over
it. It says in the booklet, your marker. So it came with a marker, and it tells you how to use the marker in case you're just that dumb.
Wow, that's a...
But then it says, your marker contains more than enough fluid to develop the entire book. However, if your marker gets lost or dries out, you can order a replacement marker for a nominal fee.
Somebody in marketing came
it's
up with that.
Nice
like,
genius.
It's like Gillette. We're going to be the razor blades of hint books.
Exactly.
They used to sell books on that same technology, like at supermarkets and stuff. That would be like sports trivia or something. So it would or mazes or things that you like little word games and stuff.
I wonder if there's some existing pen now that would actually unlock these clues.
So
I think they have them for my kids because the kids get those same things now.
They get them now, so they still do them.
Okay.
So you need
probably not
to play
as toxic now though.
They're not nearly
this is put out by Infocom. So was this a companion piece to like an early C64 game or something?
To the Infocom.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so Infocom's game were on what, the Apple II and the Commodore 64?
On everything. DOS.
Atari 800.
Yeah, and Infocom was, you know, then later acquired by Activision.
Yeah. And it's great thing.
An early
Man, I can't wait.
Mediagenic almost.
You know, when Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy comes out with a cover system, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's a first-person shooter.
It's like you set the satchel down, and then you take cover behind it, and then the fish, they're shooting at you.
Yeah, and you just turn your ear and get
one in the ear.
It's a one-in-a-million shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Gordon, how you doing, man?
All right, doing okay. It's like coming into – it's like the opposite of coming into a stoner's den because everybody is so cranked on caffeine right now.
I think it's like
it's being on a sports show.
Only moderately cranked. Jeff does have the pop cap elevator.
I found the elevator email.
Okay.
The backstory is we're at PopCap's in a building in Seattle, in a beautiful Belltown neighborhood of Seattle.
Okay.
And we occupy right now, one, two, three, four, about five floors of this building.
So you're like Amazon size, roughly.
Yeah, there's like a few hundred people there. Okay. in the Seattle office. And but it's a regular office building, and on the other floors there are like actual, you know, regular people with real jobs in suits and stuff like that. There's lawyers. In fact, the rumor is, I guess it's not a rumor, it's the truth, like on the 12th floor of this building there's animal testing going on.
Ooh.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Is that how you
that's how we test the PopCap games.
Yeah.
They're actually taking the pens from this and just rubbing in the eyes of rabbits to see what happens. Like, it's not revealing any clues, but
I'm going to interject just very, very briefly, because you may want to factor this information in as you tell the rest of your story.
Yeah.
The Ozone is actually backing up those donations, and he's already donated $40 thanks to all the Ozone.
Right,
that's
amazing.
That's a awesome. Flabbergasting number of
I'm absolutely flabbergasted.
I'm flabbergasted that he's actually put up that money.
Wait, you're flabbergasted?
He's the flabbergasted.
Okay. The money we raise, that town is going to blast straight through the Ozone at this rate.
Yeah.
So as in many office buildings that we've all been in, the elevators in the PopCap building are like ridiculously slow.
Are they just vertical people movers, or are they elevators?
They're elevators, but they're terrible.
Okay.
They're like so slow, it's sort of like the old days where you would have a guy standing in there like cranking it. It's just like that slow. So like the floor I work on is the second floor. Pretty much everybody on the second floor, we just walk because it's just not worth it. Besides, everybody else gets mad anyway that you're just going.
You're able-bodied and get off the second floor.
I will interject myself. When I went to Berkeley, I lived on the second floor of the dorms one year, and that was an all male floor. And every time any of us, all day long, would walk by the elevators, we would hit both buttons just to be assholes.
Oh,
and the doors would open up all day long, and people would be like, fuck you, second floor!
To be fair, the Berkeley dorms, which I also lived in, the ground floor is not floor one. It's ground
floor,
then floor one, then floor two.
Still, but you're still supposed to walk.
You're supposed
to. So they use it English style?
The social contract is if you're on the second floor of any building, you walk.
Okay, assuming you're able-bodied.
If you're able-bodied, which you should be in college.
Sound mind and body.
So we have a lousy elevator system. Also, there's four elevators, and usually on any one day, one is in operation. So they suck.
Okay.
And so, you know, we've been watching them do all this construction and putting in new things, but there have been stops and starts for like 6 months. Like a new box, a strange new box will show up in the lobby that looks like it's an elevator control panel. Then it will be gone the next day. So it's like, maybe they're not doing that system. So anyway, this week we all finally got an email, and I'm just going to read it because
this is so
good. Working at Whiskey, I kind of miss these emails because we don't get them very much.
Right, yeah.
Like the...
You don't really miss
them. Dear employees. No, because it was
you
always
think,
the source
really
of
think you do.
You
don't miss
who the fuck on the third floor doesn't flush after taking a deuce?
Right.
That was one of the best emails.
It's like missing.
Wow, was that a real one?
That was a real one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they're actually real. Yeah. And that continued on, actually. You know,
It wasn't me, I'm clear.
Whoa. See, now the issue is, so the problem is, so the fourth floor is where all of the executives are at Future US, right? So that's where you get water pressure. Everything works. You flush the toilet.
Yeah.
The poo goes down.
Literally downhill.
Yeah.
On the third floor, there's no water pressure. So when you got to flush, you got to like stand there and hold it for like 5 minutes.
Okay, so this wasn't
somebody.
We're
back on the flushing.
Blatantly not flushing. They actually just were too lazy to go through with it.
But you're literally like, okay, it's kind of going. Let's continue to flush. It's just like.
The second floor used to be the executive bathroom.
Yeah,
before
ComScore
moved in.
Oh, that was so good.
Because I have wondered over the years, like, who are the people that just, like, leave that there and then just walk away? Are they proud? I'm
going to
let the next guy see what I did here.
Sometimes you're so sick of your job. You're just like, you know what? This is how it's going to be for me from here on out.
Here's my statement.
The new problem now isn't the toilets. It's the urinals. A lot of people assume that the urinals are automatic because those are so widespread.
That's a real problem.
I don't like to pee in another guy's pee. It bothers
me. I like a fresh urinal.
If it's not flushed when I go, I flush it first.
Yeah.
So that I get a fresh bowl.
Yeah. You don't want splatter back from somebody else.
Well, it's not just a splatter. I don't want to mix. It just sounds wrong.
Yeah, this is a perfect opportunity to test the conversation we had earlier. I'm not going to load this question at all. Jeff, you stop me if you think I'm loading it.
All right.
When you go to do your number twos, do you flush once when you're done, or do you provide courtesy flushes between individual drops?
Are we talking about at home or in public?
In a communal bathroom. Was the situation
in a public bathroom.
Well, the trick there,
Starfleet, was what
is
we specifically
I'm
about.
Very much like Larry David. If you saw the episode where he leaves the wedding. Because he has to take a shit.
He needs his base.
Right.
He has to do it at his home base.
Right.
And that's kind of how I am. I will actually try to wait.
Public bathrooms?
I don't like, not for number two. I get
what if
I
it's like a really
out.
Nice fancy hotel.
Oh, I, then
like
I would
bathroom.
Do it. Yeah, like oh, I would totally
four
do
seasons,
it.
Anytime I'm downtown, you have an emergency.
And then just don't flush.
I mean, you know, I mean there's freeway gas stations. Yeah.
I would totally
right?
do
and
it.
And then there's like the Four Seasons.
Yeah, have, like,
the, oh yeah, absolutely. I would do it at the
they
Four Seasons.
They give you a little washcloth.
Yeah, well, as long as I don't have to tip those motherfuckers.
If it's too nice, then there's a guy always in the.
So okay, so let's say that you're on. Let's say that you're on the throne at the Four Seasons in the lobby bathroom. What's your procedure?
I would. Okay.
Jeff is very uncomfortable by this.
No, I'm just weighing the I would courtesy flush if I felt like there was I was going to be there a little longer for whatever reason.
Right.
I might
No need to elaborate.
I would more likely to courtesy flush at home though.
Really?
Well, yeah, my wife you love your family.
I love my family. They don't need that experience. Right. I will say though that once you marry a European like I am, like it's so many years we've been together for decades. That I don't even think about it anymore. But when we first started going out, and this was pre-marriage, like she was just my girlfriend, and I'm like on the toilet, and she walks in. And I'm like, whoa! Yeah, don't think
that's
so.
That's always a tipping point in the relationship the first time that
well,
happened.
This was way early on, and
oh,
she was
really?
Just like,
what? First date?
Yeah, well, not first date. No, that would have been just weird.
That's how you met, right?
Yeah, that's how we met. Yeah, but
lots of vibe.
Way too early for me. Way too early for me.
Right.
Like, this is my.
This is also early for me. I get
this
shit,
is what Norm's still looking for.
And I still close the door at our house.
Oh, so I get shit at home for leaving the door open, which I guess is fair enough. That is disgusting.
I mean, there's a
so articles. So why did we ask
at that point you're inflicting it on other people?
Yeah, that's a
if it's
borderline.
If it's people you care about, that's when you know.
That's why I'm more likely to courtesy flush at home.
That's practically spiteful.
Difference between intimacy
just mean.
And inflicting.
Yeah.
This is what I feel Games for Windows Live is. It's Microsoft not courtesy flushing for
there
us,
you go. We have we have a new high watermark quote. 1/3 of the podcast in and we have reached a new high point.
God. We should just pack it in now.
Games for Windows Live is Microsoft not courtesy flushing.
No, it's them leaving an upper decker.
Yeah.
Yes, that's basically
they torpedoed the urinal.
Okay, so should
okay,
I go back
to the elevator?
Back to the elevator. Okay.
Hold on. I got to do the thing that we do.
Inception, back up. Whenever we go down another level and return from the tangent, we have to kick back up.
Nice.
It's a terrible idea.
That's fantastic.
It's going to last like 4 more episodes.
That's awesome.
Boy.
I'm confused.
Gordon doesn't have headphones on, so he can't hear.
Do you have like a whole soundboard set up with like
I just
know,
have
funny
one
movie quotes? And here's Jim Carrey from Cable
no,
Guy.
No, we just have, the Inception blam. That's
and,
all we
the,
have.
In the old Stone days, that just would have been the most excellent thing to do.
Oh,
I was just
totally.
Thinking back like in the dorms, you know, being stoned and the endless tangents. And then part of the conversation – actually, not me. I mean my friends who smoked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I was too busy studying.
Show. Yeah. You're a good student.
Hard.
All-American.
Which got me where I was or where I am and will be. I'm actually not stoned now.
Bring it home.
Even though it sounds that way.
Bring it home.
So the elevator.
Anyway.
What?
The elevator. What? Okay. So
okay, here we go.
So this week we got the full-on company email that starts out
dramatic reading.
Good news, Pop Caponians.
Is that what they call you? Oh my god!
I hate it already.
Yeah, with two exclamation points.
Is that the official nomenclature?
No, I actually thought it was Pop Capians or whatever. He made up a new one. And let me just say that this guy's a great guy. He's a totally nice guy.
Of course, they always are.
Right. And it's not his fault. And certainly what the information that files, way not his fault. Like, this is just the guy who works in the office who was forced to write this.
Yeah, he's the message bearer.
Fair
enough.
Right. He didn't say Pop Caponians. Okay. He has to own that piece. Okay,
yeah.
But the rest, okay. Beginning tomorrow, Wednesday, October 12th, the building will be turning on the elevator control system again. This goes on, and we can just stop at a certain point, kind of like your Mad Libs if it's just not working out.
Yeah, that was me.
Hey, I take a check. The Mad Libs were popular.
I love that you're trying to keep it going, but it was death.
People liked Mad Libs.
Death.
Fuck you.
Okay. There are 3 cars currently in operation. Cars number 3 and 4 are fully controlled by the new system, and car number 1 will be dispatched but requires an extra step. The hall elevator call buttons will no longer work. Please read below for specific instructions on the elevator kiosks. Thanks for your cooperation. Please direct any questions you may have to. Oh, I should just read the email address. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay.
Well, I'm sure many of our listeners will have questions.
Right. Now we're getting into the...
I guess just say, is the email address someone else at PopCap, or is it someone building...
No, it's somebody at PopCap.
Are these serious CyberNetics happy vertical people movers? Is that what we're dealing with here? Do they say hello and like use the future to see where you should be at the right floor? Is that
based on what I'm going to read, it sounds like it. Now we're getting into the actual like numbered list here.
Here we go.
So, and this is an underlined... Calling a car to the floor. 1. Use the kiosk to call an elevator. 2.
What?
Enter floor destination on kiosk. 3. Kiosk will display an arrow to either car number 3 or car number 4. 4. If the system selects car number 1, the display will read, quote, please wait for car to be dispatched.
I think I'm getting a migraine.
5. Once either car 3 or car 4 arrives, you will notice that there are no visible floor buttons to push inside of the car. The car will know where to take you based on what you entered at the kiosk.
So it's a death booth.
Yeah, 6. And in fact, this is what's happened, is people have been trapped.
Wait, so just so I'm clear, when I press a button on an elevator, the elevator knows where to take me based on that number?
On the number
that's
on on the kiosk.
But the button's outside the elevator.
It's outside the elevator.
It's on a kiosk.
Wait, so you have to select your destination, before you get in
and
the
then
car.
Once you get in, it's going to know. Okay,
what if you get in the elevator and you realize you had too much coffee and you have to find out an emergency
stop? And I can tell you what happened there, because that's a legit question. Was I in 6 or 7? These are actually bullets, so I'm cheating by adding the numbers. But I didn't know how to say bullet. So,
you could have just said bullet.
Point. Should I do that? I'll do that from now on. 7. We'll say 7.
Yeah, that works.
The display located to the left on the elevator jamb will show what floors the cars will be traveling to. 8. Once in the car, the bigger display will also show the same information.
Okay.
Okay. 9. If car number 1 arrives, enter the floor you need to go to within the elevator car. If you are traveling to a secure floor, you'll need to swipe your card at the reader in the elevator car. 9, or was that 10? Kiosks are located on every floor. 10. Main lobby has 3 kiosks near the security desk, 1 in the elevator lobby, and 1 at the back of the lobby. This was just the first section. I'm not going to keep reading it because I think you get the point. But there's
How much longer does that go on for?
There's 3 more sections, each with their own bit of bullet points.
Oh my god!
Each with about 6 bullet.
This is the right elevator.
How many floors? How many floors are in the building?
12.
That's it.
12. Yeah. Right. I just want to go to work. I just want to get in the elevator.
It's a healthy living initiative. Make you take the stairs.
For second floor. And so actually what's happened now in real life is what you were alluding to is that if you get into one of these floors now, into one of these cars, you press the button on the kiosk saying, okay, I want to go to the third floor. The door opens. You get in. The door closes. Now, if you get in and you do not have your key card –
You are fucked.
Do you just die?
Because the elevator will just go up to the third floor and it won't open.
Holy shit!
And not only will it not open, it won't go back down. No, there's no buttons in it.
You're trapped.
There's no buttons. You are trapped until somebody else calls it from the kiosk on the bottom floor.
Or you have to emit a nerve gas or something for people to get trapped.
This is like some sort of weird social experiment. They're testing
it. Is
you.
It's like a portal.
I think
that
just
is this PopCap's next game? Is this like
it's a great idea? It should be.
Is this EA's influence on PopCap? Is that what
these are totally EA elevators?
It's a remake of Elevator Action.
I'm Commander Shepard. Like,
my favorite elevator in Citadel.
I mean, when you read through it all and you parse out what they're saying, it all makes sense. But it's sort of like you get an email from the facilities people, and there's like 20, there were 20, I counted, 20 bullet points on how to ride the elevator.
So, I mean,
when did things get so out of hand?
Yeah, just to dial this in, like, the normal instructions for an elevator are, step 1, press a button indicating direction you wish to travel. Yeah. Step 2, enter elevator when it arrives. Step 3, press button indicating floor on which you wish to depart elevator. It is a 3-step process.
Exactly.
I remember when we used to work at the old building in Imagine.
The one
in Brisbane. Many of you remember it. It was a two-floor building, and it had 2 buttons, one for each floor. And Frank O'Connor, who worked there at the time, he now works at Microsoft with running the Halo franchise for them, said to me one time, "Why, if there's only 2 floors, why isn't there just 1 button that just says go? Like, there's only one. It can only be in one place or the other."
Yeah. That's the kind of thinking that led us to the kiosks.
I was like, "That's fucking mind blowing."
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And the whole good news at the beginning. I mean, of course, this email then got roundly ridiculed by the entire company because how could it not be?
You're lucky it's not on Reddit.
It actually should be on Reddit. Maybe it'll end up on Reddit. Probably.
Well, now there's, you know, the source is there.
Yeah, they're actually –
someone's typing it out right now.
Dear PopCaponians.
I'm not sure if it's apocryphal enough, but I remember hearing that story about how the elevators at the Apple campus have no buttons because Steve Jobs hated buttons. And so the elevators would just always go up and down, and you would get on when it arrived and get off whenever it was at your floor. There's only so many floors.
That sounds about
That's
right.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
you'll
that
get
sounds
off the
about
floor
right.
you like.
That's sort of like an escalator approach to an elevator.
Yeah.
It just, the elevators are just
they
constantly
just have
going
no doors
up and down,
and they just never stop. You just got to jump on. You got to be on it.
Great.
Land on the shoulder.
Why should you have choice or freedom? You should just ride the
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's begun. It has begun.
I'm just saying.
Steve wants to lock you into that elevator ecosystem.
Yeah.
The verticals.
It's a wall.
Doesn't that tell you that if you get into the fucking elevator at Apple, you don't even control the goddamn elevator. You have no – at least that fucking PopCap, they let you control the goddamn elevator barely, right?
Well, kind of.
But at Apple, it's like no buttons. You just stand there for 10 – there's like nobody in the fucking elevator, right? But yet it stops at every – floor.
Well, how many floors?
I knew I should have mentioned Apple because Gordon only needs the tiniest crack.
Well, I mean, in fairness,
to get in there. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something.
Maybe they should have an iPhone app that controls the elevator.
That's what you're talking about.
That'd be awesome.
That's what it should be.
We were coming here, and we were using DJ's iPhone.
Yes.
But it wasn't working because he couldn't get the turn-by-turn navigation function.
There is no turn-by-turn navigation function.
Okay.
That would explain it.
I should be able to call the elevator from my iPhone app while I'm at my desk. By the time I get there, it's arrived. Exactly.
In five minutes, I'm going to get up to the bathroom. It's like taxi magic.
Hold the elevator
for me.
Siri, get me an elevator.
So
Siri knows what floor I'm on.
At 7.5 hours into this 24-hour podcast, for the kids.
Thank God it's for the children.
Tested.com/donate if you would like to give money to Child's Play.
Yeah, we should do a quick check in.
And support our lunatic behavior here. Mm-hmm. We're 7.5 hours. We're almost a third of the way through. I don't know.
Want to do a quick total check?
I'm refreshing the page even as we speak. Gordon Mong's here. Jeff Green's here. Jeff Gerstmann's here. Norm Chan, Gary Whitehead.
We have Dan Stapleton from PC Gamer on deck, waiting to come
he's
up.
He's in the green room, which is really
a couch.
It's a couch.
Fully infested couch. The fleas are gone.
That couch has seen a lot of action.
We're at $200 short of $17,000, guys.
Well, I'm about to give up my spot. I do want to say to Dan, who's in the room, PC Gamer, staff member Norm.
Former mortal nemesis.
This is what I was going to bring up.
Still mortal.
Gary Whitta. We used to be.
It was weird how people. Johnny Wilson before, and then you, because I was PC Gamer, and you were editor of CGW, and then Jimmy Tully during the same time.
People wanted us to be enemies.
We edited these rival publications, but then when we would show up at PC press events and things, people would go, "Ooh, keep them apart."
Yeah, exactly.
Rivalry, and I'm like, "What? We're friends. What the fuck?"
Right.
It's like
the only one I ever had.
Until the websites got in, that everyone got actually.
So they were rumbled.
Like,
actually, I did. Dan Morris and I did have a little bit of a thing going on.
You and Dan Morris?
What? Oh yeah, it was pretty good.
Well, like a fun thing.
We had. Oh no.
Like
it was actually
acrimony?
It was pretty. There was one point I remember because you know there's a lot of obviously there's a lot of incestuous relationships going on with all of us.
This is when Dan was editor.
So Dan was editor in chief, and he was friends with Darren Gladstone, who was on my staff.
And he will be a guest on the podcast.
And he will be late. Right. So he would aim with Darren during the day, as friends do. But at this point, Dan and I were locked in this just absolute, like, mortal war for the covers of the magazines.
Right. That was competitive. The professional side was super competitive.
Right, especially for those covers. And we got into some bullshit thing with each other where, like, if one of us would find out the cover for the month, the other one would, like, put a cover line in there on the same issue, the same month. Like, so if I knew Dan was going to do a Age of Mythology cover, for example.
Right.
And I would find that ahead of time. We would write like two bullshit lines about Age of Mythology, even though we had nothing. And then we would put a cover line on there saying, exclusive.
Wow.
Age of Mythology, just to fuck with them. It was completely mutual. I don't even know who started
it. Did you ever have like intel on who was going after what covers? And if you knew that PC Gamer was going after a cover, you would try to get in there and cock block them, like make a better offer?
There were only two PC magazines at that point. I mean, we were talking to publishers. It was like,
right.
We know Battlefield's coming out, right?
Right.
You don't have it? Oh, who else could it be?
Are you going to get Sin or are you going to get Half-Life?
It would be like that. Usually, in fact,
Sin.
Yeah.
Usually, actually, there were deals like that. So usually there wasn't like bullshit you know, everybody trying to fuck everybody else over. Like Blizzard would just say, like, it's PC gamers' turn. And we would go, cool. All right. Well, we get next turn. So some of the better companies like Blizzard would sort of have a deal worked out. But there was some
Who
of the
stuff. Who were the worst companies, Jeff?
Oh, I just so wanted to say EA. I just did. It's just that part of me that just wants to kill my own career every day.
You're throwing the softball out there. I'm just like.
It's just the self-loathing part of me.
Yeah.
So anyway, so at one point, it was just there was a little acrimony going on. And I guess I must have done something like that to Dan very recently. And Dan was on AIM with Darren Gladstone. And the it should have been preserved for posterity. But the rant he wrote Darren on AIM was just the most fantastic. It was just like a total Darth Vader kind of like, and he was serious too because he was mad. And I don't know if you have seen Dan Morris.
Dan Morris,
mad.
You don't. You want don't. You don't. Mad.
Dan is one of those like you know there are angry people in the world, and like when they get super angry, you just deal with it. But
well, you were there.
But it's people like Dan who are so mild
mannered. Dan was always mad though,
yeah. And so nice that when they do blow up, it's like, whoa, that's fucking scary.
And that's what
I didn't
it
expect
was.
It from
yeah.
that guy.
Yeah, and it was just it was like Jeff Green does not know the hell he has just stepped into. And I was just lying. It went on and on like
because he was fucking gonna, with him on these cover lines.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It was just like I was like, whoa, like. It's just Age of Mythology, man. No one even gives a shit. No one's going to play it. But anyway. But then, ironically, after I left PC Gaming or CGW and went to EA, Dan Morris was also at EA. So then we bonded over being at EA together. And now we're friends. Oh, anyway, I only brought this up because the milestone this month is that I actually have a column in the upcoming issue of PC Gamer.
Oh, funny how it all comes around in the end.
Yeah. And so I just want to say thank you to them, and it was an honor to actually appear in the magazine. I mean that sincerely. Thank you.
You're going to be in a very, very elite club of people that have been in both magazines. Well, you and like 500
and
fucking Christian, journeyman journalists.
And all Deslock, the people that have,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
what's
on
Deslock
that note of sincerity.
When was the last time anyone heard from Deslock?
No, he's still writing for PC Gamer.
Oh, is he still writing? Okay. I figured he just went off to do his lawyer in full time or something like that. He did guides for us a lot back in the day.
Yeah, he's still kicking.
Yeah. Awesome. He's a good dude.
All right.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming by, Jeff.
Thank you for having me, guys.
If you want to come
that
by.
That was one of the most entertaining sections that we've had.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, you're a tough act to follow. Feel free to come back. Well, yeah. We've got gaps at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean,
now that I'm old, I do kind of wake up at like 5 now.
Yeah, just call into Skype. We have Whiskey Media Talk.
Can we please have Jeff do a Mad Lib before he leaves?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't give a fuck what you think, Will. The chat likes it.
The chat likes it.
They're all saying no. There's like 1,500 people saying no right now.
What? Let me see.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm looking.
Look,
yes.
People want Mad Libs.
Okay.
I like it.
This
one
give
is
the people
cold.
No more Mad Libs, some guy just said.
Yeah, this one is. Look at all the yeses. Look.
He's probably,
no.
From PlayStation Australia or something.
What are you saying there? Preponderance of yes?
Lots.
Yeah,
probably more
you.
Yeses than no's.
Okay.
I'm just going to read my book
You read your Kindle. Fucking Killjoy.
Wow, there are a lot of people
this
in this Twitter
message.
So I have to do the answers.
I'm gonna ask you for the answers.
Yeah, he's gonna ask you for words.
These are all computer.
I heard Lloyd
related.
Do it earlier. It wasn't that funny.
I told
I'm not blaming Lloyd.
No,
I'm just saying.
Let's see if you can do better.
You gotta be filthy. Is
except
the way
when he said
funny.
E for a number, I didn't even know what that meant.
All right. Let's start with an adjective.
It's an imaginary number.
All right.
Jeff, we're gonna start with an adjective.
Okay.
You got to give us an adjective.
Oh, I have to.
So what, the way this works,
I was waiting for you to suggest me one.
The way this segment,
maybe I am stoned.
Aren't we all like hardcore board game players? We can't even do a fucking Mad Lib. Like, how do we ever play Ticket
no
to Ride?
There's no dice involved.
That's true. Yeah, no 20 sided dice.
Can I roll for this? Can I roll for initiative?
Dice with 20 adjectives.
Are there girls there?
Give me an adjective.
Gangly.
That's an adverb again, but okay.
Oh shit, you're right.
No, it's an adjective.
That's an ly. I guess
no, you're right.
No, it's a describing word.
Yeah, but
it's good.
All right, we'll try.
Okay,
give me an adverb.
Oh, that was an adverb.
You could do gangly again.
I could do weakly, right?
Okay, that's.
I don't mean like. I mean like with an A.
Part of this is good because Americans are bad at grammar. It turns out.
Right, my daughter would be the smack in my head right now.
Well, you're a professional writer, right?
Give me a verb.
Shh, a verb. Shitting.
Well, I'm just gonna do shit.
This is no.
See, this is what you have to do with Mad Libs.
Yeah,
right? This is what we did when we were 8.
Yeah, it has to be. Really
I said shit.
Give me a number.
Dick.
Well, that's what makes it good.
Dick.
A number.
Give me a number.
Penis.
There you go. Okay. That's it.
I'm liking how
that's
this is
how
going.
The Mad Lib works.
Now it's getting good. Lloyd, give me another adjective.
Another adjective.
The internet's suggesting fapping.
I'm good with that. Fapping. When did that become a word? By the way,
I think it was like 2097.
Fapping is not an adjective. That's a verb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought you said verb. Sorry.
Oh, that is a verb.
Yeah, because it sounds.
Let's save that for the next verb. The next verb is fapping.
Fapping-ish.
Give me an adjective. Please.
Chubby.
Chubby.
I see where you're going with this. I like this.
Yeah. That's also a noun.
I went from fat to chub.
Now give me a noun.
A noun? I said penis already.
Yeah, but you.
I didn't say boobs.
Boobs is good.
This is great. I'm 50 years old.
Give me a room.
I'm flabbergasted by this.
I'm flabbergasted by my answers. I'm sorry,
Gordon
Mom.
And Dan have no idea what the ozone
I'm going to elevate the rest of this Mad Lib.
Okay.
Give me a room.
A room?
Like a room in a house. Or anywhere.
Sitting room.
Can't you wait?
See, I'm going to elevate it.
Very nice.
Right?
Yeah.
This is going to be a New Yorker style.
Now give me an adverb.
I'm going to send this to the Popcaponians.
Intellectually.
Very nice.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
I'm feeling good about myself now.
This,
I can go
really
home proud.
This was headed right to the gutter.
It was.
Now
give me a plural noun.
Plural noun? I said boobs already.
Yeah. You're like one off all the really good ones.
Yeah, shit. Never go with boobs too early.
Wait.
Shits?
Well, it's both a noun and a verb.
Shits is
it
good.
Works both ways.
All right, we'll go with shits.
And I changed boobs to boob because it wanted a singular noun. I should.
Okay.
Boob is a collective.
Give me a type of liquid.
Oh, there we go. Urine. Right? Jeff was looking at me. He knew what I was going to say.
I knew that.
And another adjective.
Oh, God. Why did this.
Another adjective. Tasty.
Okay.
The reason this works is that Jeff is.
Give me any male person in this room.
It's a good thing it wasn't female this time.
Yep.
I got to say, Gary.
Okay.
You made me do this.
Okay. Now give me an adjective.
Oh, boy.
Ladylike.
Now, I like where this is going.
Give me a type of food which is plural.
Plural food.
Like French fries or something.
Well, don't prompt me. Now I don't want to say that.
I'm just trying to help you out.
Almonds. Almonds. Oh, nuts.
Yeah.
I blew it.
We'll do nuts.
No, we'll say nuts.
Well, giving you the slam.
They were giving me the sands, and I said almonds.
I would have gone with shits there.
I would have sucked on that.
Isn't there a rule about using the same one
give
twice?
Give me an exclamation.
Breaking your rules,
one
man.
Word.
Huzzah.
Okay. That's a good one. Part of the body.
Oh, man. We're only halfway through this madly.
Really? We're only halfway through? Nipple.
Okay.
That's a part, right? That counts as a part.
It does.
Verb ending in ing.
Here's where we use fapping.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? It was waiting to be used.
Another verb ending in ing.
Let's see, if I said masturbating, that would be
kind of the same
kind
thing.
Of redundant. That's the only sniffing? Verb I really know or care about.
Yeah.
Sniffing, did you say?
I don't
sniffing?
Know. I'm just
sniffing.
I'm
yeah, sure.
At this point, I'm just trying to get this.
I'm just trying to go home so I can
finish the suffering. This Mad Lib segment is death.
Give me a noun.
A noun. iPhone.
Oh, you're going to like this one.
It's kind of a product placement.
Adjective.
Yeah.
This is the last one. Adjective.
Last one.
Plants vs. Zombies now available on iPhone.
buy today.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite unicorn? Mine's Bjorn.
Give me an adjective. I don't know. Not Gary.
Stately.
Excellent. I like it.
All right, this is what we created, people. Since I use the first is going to start off where it gets better. Since I use my computer every day, it can get gangly really weakly. I always make sure to shit.
Me too.
Just breaks down.
I always make sure to shit it every penis days in order to keep it shiny and chubby. I'll grab a soft boob from the sitting room and intellectually wipe the keyboard down to get rid of all the shits. Then I squirt some urine on the screen to get it nice and tasty.
That's
this
gross.
Week,
that works.
This week... It was extra dirty sterile. Because my little brother Gary decided to bring his ladylike plate of nuts into my room and eat it at my desk. When I yelled, when I yelled huzzah and told him to stop, he stuck out his nipple at me and continued fapping.
That works.
Then he started, sniffing so hard that he spilled all of his nuts all over my iPhone. This is the last time I'll let my stately little brother in my room ever again.
Can we be done with the Mad Libs now?
Wow. I think people are liking this.
That was wonderful.
You're the only one that doesn't like them.
I apologize for contributing to that.
I think that was a winner.
Thank you for coming by, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
It's been wonderful to have you here.
And I think this was a great thing you guys are doing. I think it's very cool you're doing this. Well, and I hope you make it the 24 hours.
Me too. I'd hate to lose Norm.
No.
I think he's. Right. Who do you think is going to fade first?
Norm, man. Look, he's halfway gone now.
Right. Norms looked sleepy since I started watching it. Like
how late
one.
Were you at last night? How much did you drink?
No. I slept a reasonable hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's younger. He's got reserve energy going.
Yeah. I'll do it to beat Will. Don't worry about it.
You think you'll beat me? I could do this for another 20 hours.
You'll have to.
Or at least 16.
Go on. Do it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Why stop at 24?
Everybody move over one. Gordon Mong, take the middle seat. Put Stage back on the edge where he belongs. Right. Andy Richter's in the back. I don't know what he's doing. We got Jeff Gerstmann here, Noah Chan, Gary Whitta, Gordon Mong, Dan the Stape Stapleton, Jeff Green signing off. Thanks for coming by, Jeff. I'm checking in with the total. Let's see if we've broken 17. Do you think we've broken 17,000?
I think we have.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a look.
I'm refreshing the $17,090 plus another
grand or so from the whiskey store.
That is unbelievable.
I wanted to be the one to break it. I wanted to donate on the air.
You are a voice, break 18 right now. By the way,
you can officially make it 18,000.
That's true. Well,
you're a voice in the wilderness on this Mad Libs business. People love it. Somebody
has to be the voice of reason.
The voice of contrarianism.
Nothing but poop jokes and toilet humor.
Whereas the rest of this podcast is clean family.
Right.
Fare. I know we all feel great now. We also need to think about food.
Yeah, we should probably order from Grumpy's at some point. Luckily, I have that programmed into speed dial on my phone.
Wow. You know, they got new menus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm just going to get a cheeseburger and fries. I'll be perfectly frank.
Or we can order. I will pay to pizza.
I think we should order pizza.
Because that's how.
Find out when
Orgasmica
closes or a pizza place near here.
Hold
on.
What?
But I need to know how to finish the. Now I'm never going to finish Hitchhikers.
Hold on, a little bit easy on you. You can even pull it all out and I'll just reconnect it.
Make Siri do things.
I can't tell which phone is which now.
You'll be all right.
Oh, wait,
if you hold down the home button,
enable Siri. My info.
Wait, Norm, so were you standing in line like all those other fuckheads?
No, we haven't delivered. I don't have one.
Norm doesn't have one.
Gordon, I don't have one.
I only have one because we were reviewing it. I probably wouldn't have bought this one just for Siri.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny is I was talking to Dan about his iPhone 4.
And I was getting shit about this.
Fucking
the whole
stopped
way.
Working.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
We had a whole months of shows that were like this.
Funny how that happens right before the 4S comes out.
But right, it just dies.
Yeah.
And it didn't even make it like, what, 14 months?
It's not dead yet. It still charges.
Oh, your
Jeff's
glasses? They are.
I don't know.
There's a watch there. Is that Gordon's watch?
That's my watch.
Okay. I just wanted to come in and block my shot. I see how it is.
Jeff, thank you.
Bye, Jeff.
Thank you. See ya.
Well, it's all a right. DJ's phone.
Order pizza.
No, nobody calls me.
Wait. What are you doing there?
Order pizza.
This is not going to go well.
Okay.
I got to turn it on. You could order pizza.
The internet... It's much faster than Siri.
Okay.
Pizza Orgasmica closes at midnight.
Is it true that for Siri to work at all, you have to be online?
No,
like even if you're
not true.
Okay. Depends on what you're asking it.
Yeah. Okay, I saw someone saying that you couldn't even set a timer without internet access.
No way.
Okay. All right, good.
We can check that.
Can we get Chinese food?
Mode. That's true.
We can. I don't care what we get. I don't want pizza.
This
is
whatever.
More riveting internet for.
You should let the people choose.
It's not all going to be gold.
Yeah, we could let the people choose.
Are you done?
I am done.
Okay, wonderful. So Dan has made his contribution.
I have.
Oh, I'll refresh. Are we at 18,000, Dan?
Close.
Yeah, let's see how much went up.
How much was it?
Oh, well, I can actually see how much Dan put in, but I won't...
It hasn't registered
I won't
yet.
Reveal that. That's his private
but
business.
Thank you, Dan, for your...
Yes, thanks, Dan.
...for your contribution. Dan, thanks everybody who's contributed. Contributed.
Contributed. No, you had it right for contributed. That's how we say it now. Just now. We changed it.
Yeah, however Will pronounces it, that's the right way.
Yeah. Contributed.
That's the new policy. Gordon, Dan, how the hell are you guys doing?
Pretty well. Even though I had to suffer verbal abuse the whole way here.
That's why we love Gordon. We don't have very little. I mean, actually, Will Ryan gives a fair amount of verbal abuse, but it's a different kind of.
It comes from a very different place.
Yeah, it's a less kind of, with love verbal abuse and more just a I want to stab you kind of verbal abuse.
Yeah.
Should we order some burglars from Grumpy's or something?
Let's order something from Grumpy's.
I would eat a burger.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I'll eat a burger.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What are you, vegetarian or something?
No, I'm low carb.
He's carb conscious.
You could just not eat the bun.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I want the bun.
Do you want to?
It's for the kids.
The kids want you to eat buns.
I wonder how much I can stretch that excuse.
Can we do carbs for the kids?
Carbs
next
for the kids.
Week. 24 hours for carbs.
Every carbohydrate Gary eats is a dollar for the kids.
For the kids. So, People who don't know in the chat, Gordon, Dan, both former coworkers of ours. Gordon, I worked with Gordon for 10 years at MaxPC. Norm, a little bit less, but, you know, long time.
Yep.
And Gordon is, I like to think, a voice of reason in an otherwise
Apple-infested world.
Insane. Yeah. It's not about Apple. It's not all about Apple.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about Apple. What, you carrying an Android phone or something insane?
What?
What? You're carrying the,
I have an Android
You have the strap-on
phone, yes.
battery back, right?
Of course. You know why? Because I wanted to put the battery on it, so well, that, I could.
Okay, so there's an option.
I will donate another $50 if Gordon can manage to string together three sentences that aren't slightly concealed knocks on Apple.
Why did we end up with Gordon sitting next to Gary? This is such a bad idea.
I don't care.
It's going to end in bloodshed.
Which one is matter and which one is antimatter?
Three sentences that... Don't make fun of Apple.
Three sentences in a row that aren't in some way passive-aggressive knocks on Apple.
Yeah. We're still at zero.
Because so far I don't think you've managed it. In fact, I think one would be a good... So let's just try one.
What was the biggest... Oh, hey, somebody's here. That might be Jeff, actually, trying to get back in and get something. That was the
well, he's old.
Bell,
he forgets
not
things.
The other thing. I'll go get...
I'll go check.
Can you grab it? Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
By the time you get back, Gordon will be up to maybe...
I'm working on one.
Wait.
Let the man think. This has not come naturally to the man.
It's just too much happening to this. You're catching me on a bad day.
It's like asking me to speak Spanish. It's going to take.
And today, right? Today
of all days. The whole days.
What's that?
¿Cómo está? So can we talk about Windows 8?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Because I haven't talked to you since we build and they unveiled the Metro stuff for Windows 8. And I really would like to know your thoughts on that matter. Because it seems like the kind of thing that, just from outside, I would think you would be pretty strongly against.
Well, I don't think that the Windows 8 Metro interface, I think for most desktop users, is not going to be used. Right? That's obviously for the all-in-one crowd. It's for laptops with touch screens. It's for convertible
tablets.
Well,
but they're saying it replaces the start menu.
Yeah, but they're backing off of that now, right?
Oh, so. Is this the case? I mean,
yeah,
I,
they've said they're backing off of that now.
How much do regular people use the start menu anyway?
I mean, everybody uses the start menu.
Well, you use it as a program launcher.
But I use it for everything but launching the start, but it's launching apps. Like when I'm in Windows, the way I launch apps is by hitting the Windows key, typing the name of the app, and it comes up.
Right.
And then the other stuff that I use it for is literally like opening control panels and going to the manage my computer and all that kind of nonsense.
Right. They've already backed off of that. I don't think they're going to actually go through with that.
I think they should.
Really? Why?
I think it'd be a terrible idea for them to give something. They need to have a bad release so that the one after that can be the good one again.
No.
For every Windows 7, there has to be a Vista.
Microsoft.
It's not a Star Trek movie, Will.
Did you know that they consider Galaxy Quest one of the actual Star Trek movies?
Who's they?
Somebody. I don't want to say who it is, but somebody on that actually was very closely associated with Star Trek that I've talked to.
Rick Bergman.
Interviewed him, and he said, actually, some people think it's.
Do they consider Spaceballs a Star Wars movie?
I
would, because frankly, it wasn't better than
a Star Wars movie. I just said it wasn't.
See, look, there was nothing making fun of.
No, you're doing good. This is good.
Yeah,
because we got you on Windows.
Right. Yeah.
Well, but so the Galaxy Quest thing, if you rank that in Star Trek movies, it's somewhere, south of Search for
Let's rank Star Trek movies.
If it were a Star Trek movie, it would be one of the better ones.
It would. Yeah, right. It's right up there with the whale one.
Star Trek 4.
Star Trek
4. Right. But the timing of it.
Yeah. It is one of the better ones.
Because you remember the thing is, even number Star Trek movies, good.
Until 10.
Nemesis. No, but what they're saying is Nemesis was a shitty even number.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
But if you count Galaxy Quest... In there, Nemesis becomes
very good.
Yes,
that's bullshit. So that then makes the JJ one shit, right?
JJ one doesn't. I mean, it's you gotta remember that's alternate reality one. It's not even a Star Trek movie
because JJ one came after Nemesis.
Yeah, that would push JJ into even.
Well,
yeah.
No, so
so it would be good.
Yeah. In the alternate reality, though, the odd ones are good. And the even ones are bad. So
this is a nonsense.
That's ridiculous.
No,
that's insane.
Yes.
But on Windows 8, I really haven't followed it too closely, but I do know I've heard them. They're saying they're backing off of getting rid of the start menu now. Or there's sort of those saying they're saying, oh, whoa.
I think they were testing the waters with that one.
Yeah, it's pretty far out. So.
Yeah. It seemed a little crazy. Like, it makes sense for tablets, makes sense for laptops even in a certain to a certain extent.
Right, but the huge amount of people using Windows are still using desktop machines in laptops without touchscreens, so it doesn't really make a lot of sense for them.
Yeah. Well, and even if you're talking about laptops on the Windows side, then, like, there's bad trackpads. Like, there's multi-touch is weird. It doesn't work very well for the most part. And that, I mean, that's changing, it seems like, but it's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
Have you guys spent any time with Ultrabooks yet? Jason Cross.
Yeah, we had the Acer Ultrabooks.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is it really – is what they're pushing out now even really an Ultrabook?
Well –
why not?
Because I don't really believe it's an Ultrabook.
Well, what are you kind of
because
definition?
The concept – see, the wacky thing is to me, when Intel came in, they were like, hey, this is Ultrabook concept. You're going to be able to get, like, you know, all-day computing off of it. And you cannot do that on a Sandy Bridge part today, right? Those Ultrabooks are not giving you 15 hours of battery life. Those things are really not Ultrabooks.
But, I mean, battery life in general, on laptops especially, on Mac, PC, whatever, is generally pretty complete horseshit
from the manufacturer. But that's also going to change drastically. Right,
maybe
we're two generations of now. You will be able to get an ultrabook that will give you probably 12 hours of battery.
That's what you're talking about at IDF.
Yeah, right. So you're talking about like the
because battery life is the big bottleneck on all of these.
Talking about the one that
battery life is the big bottleneck on all of these, whether it be the MacBook or the ultrabook.
As well,
they all have that same problem.
Yeah, battery life is a problem. But the issue, of course, you know, Intel said this for a long time. It's like, look, it's not the CPU using it. If you add it up. It's, you know, the chipset,
is a huge
graphics,
thing.
The screen, all this other crap that's going. We're not the ones eating a battery, but.
Gordon, this is just for you. I'm seriously looking at getting a 13-inch ZenBook to replace my wife's 2010 MacBook Pro because she hates it.
What's a ZenBook?
Really?
It's the
that's
Asus.
The Asus one.
Thank you, Dan. Okay. See, I didn't see anything negative there.
Right. This MacBook thing was a misguided purchase to begin with. Like she just loved the way it looked, and she like wouldn't really accept any other laptop. But she didn't want to go to Mac OS. So it's like, okay, boot camp. We'll try that.
Yeah, but boot camp's a bad solution.
It's been a disaster.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it like just taking like a full minute to come back from sleep. it's awful.
And they've always like it's something that. Has been established as bad, and it's for emergency use only.
And they do it on purpose.
Well, of course.
Right.
It's the same reason iTunes sucks on Windows. We can talk about that for a while, because I think everybody in the room agrees that iTunes is an enormous piece of shit.
Steve Jobs described it as giving water to people in hell. Ice water.
Well, right before D9, right? Or D7.
What?
When he was going on stage with Jobs,
with Gates,
he literally during the pre the Jobs of Kara Swisher interview before the Jobs Gates interview with Walt Mossberg, he said giving Windows users iTunes is like giving ice water in hell, basically, giving users ice water in hell. And then he handed Bill Gates a. Gates was apparently a little pissed off about it because they were supposed to not take shots at each other. That was part of the deal, and then Jobs handed him a bottle. This is all apocryphal. I mean, who knows if this is true? But he handed him a bottle of ice water. When they were backstage, and Gates was a little steamy about it, and everybody was cool after that.
So. That's not true, though. You know the rest of the story, though?
What was the rest of the story?
Vibrating palm. Don't make me do to you. You demonstrate it?
I have no idea.
Norm knows. He's a brother. He knows this.
Oh, what vibrating palm? It's like a Bruce Lee one-inch punch kind of thing?
That's so racist.
What killed Bruce Lee?
Vibrating palm?
Yeah, the vibrating palm. Come on, it was in Dungeons & Dragons, for God's sake. It's like an 18-level monk move.
I have no idea what anybody's talking about.
You know
about.
How long you'd have to play a fucking monk to do that move?
sounds like a high-level move.
I'm just saying, it's been used to assassinate many people before.
So you're saying it leaves no trace.
So hold on, you're saying Bill Gates was replaced just like George Lucas?
I didn't say Bill Gates was given the vibrating palm.
Oh.
I'm just saying in that meeting.
That was the threat.
I'm just saying maybe Bill Gates gave that vibrating palm to somebody.
Well, maybe it's some
I see
of,
what you're going
vegan
with this.
Power.
Okay. I see what you're doing.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought we were talking about Jobs there. So what's going on?
I don't know.
What was that about Windows 8?
Oh, no, we're talking about, so what? I'm not saying anything negative here. See, I'm being very nice. I'm being very cordial in the den of lions here and leopards and whatever the fuck they call it. So, DJ, what was her problem with
OS 10?
OS 10.
She just doesn't like it. I mean, she is not like a super techie person. She didn't want to just learn the new ins and outs of the OS.
But, DJ, it's easier to use. I mean, come on.
Come on. Okay. Can we talk about Star Trek more?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm beginning to think that this might have been a bad idea. 20 hours of podcasts. We're only 8 hours in. I'm tired. I'm grumpy.
And you need food.
Food would be good.
Food would be very good.
Have we established? Can we get an order?
We are now one third of the way through this.
Well, we're
thing.
5 minutes short.
Well, but yeah, basically, come on.
I will say that when I first switched to OS X, when I first bought my first Mac.
So Jeff's a recent convert.
It was impossible to use.
Oh yeah,
because I was so used to everything the way Windows did it and all the stuff. It's like, how do I do this? How do I do this? And it was one of those things where everything felt like it needed 3 or 4 more steps than it really had. So I was looking for ways to do things and turn out to be like way simpler. But there was this weird unlearning process of having to go from, you know, what I was used to from years and years and years of Windows to what the hell this weird OS was.
Yeah, yeah, I
could totally
same
see
for me
people
when
being
I first switched.
Completely
you just got to unlearn
completely
everything.
Completely put off by it. Yeah.
In a lot of ways, OS 10 fights Windows users every step of the way.
Totally.
But you know that said, like I was until after high school, I was on Macs the entire like I'd never owned my own PC.
It's weird though, because you'd think Apple would be in Apple's interest to make that transition, because they have that whole campaign where they want you to switch. So you think they would want to make that transition not that jarring.
Yeah, but the fucking command key is still in the wrong place.
Yeah.
I mean,
Gary, you're talking about a place that makes the elevator stop.
I actually think that seems like a joke.
That is I think that is apocryphal.
Okay.
When they build the spaceship, it'll all be different. Don't worry.
I'm the spaceship, man. It's like a giant space donut.
Yeah.
The thing I'm okay with most of how OS X works. The thing that drives me nuts though is the libraries, and like if you want to migrate an iPhoto library or just do whatever you want with your photos, no. Cannot do, and whereas you know Windows, like if you're using Picasa, probably if you use Picasa on the Mac as well. I haven't tried that, but like all of your photos are just logically ordered in folders. If you want to go in and get something, you can. It doesn't say no, you can't have your stuff. Or make it difficult for you to get to it.
Yeah, that's why you almost lost all your almost lost all her photos.
Oh, because she realized the library.
She accidentally deleted an entire user account and didn't realize that a lot of her pictures were associated with it. We managed to recover those pictures.
Most of the pictures.
I just want to let you guys all know that Sir Dame 000 is watching Hancock right now, and he loves my movies.
You are excellent in that until like 15 minutes in when it forgets what the movie's about.
I really do pity you sometimes on Twitter.
It's real up and down.
I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
It's real up and down. I remember I signed up for Twitter. I was like, man, this is a fucking great idea. I'm going to get my name. Because it worked really well on Gmail.
It seemed like such a good idea at the time, didn't it?
Yeah, because I was like, you know, you do it on all the services because you don't know which one's going to take off, right? So, you know, somewhere out there, there's an Orkut account with Will Smith attached to it that belongs to me. And
some
Brazilian
dude
is really pissed off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the fucking, the Twitter, the celebrities coming to Twitter. When Shaquille O'Neal showed up on Twitter, I was like, oh, this is going to end badly.
The problem is you have a common enough first name that you'll never be able to get the first name unless it's a service you start yourself. Someone else named Will is going to get it.
Very
rarely. Yeah, you would have to be on really, really early to get one, just the first name.
You know, we haven't talked about it in a while. It's 8 o'clock. I'm going to check in.
Let's check in on the charity.
Check in on what we're all here for, the kids. I'm refreshing the page. The comments on this page are getting to the point that it takes like a few minutes to scroll now.
Oh, you're actually looking at the comments on the webpage?
Oh, man, Perry is still here.
How is Perry still here?
Oh, my God, Perry, why are you still here? But
he ain't got nowhere else to go.
The total difference here now is the amount that I gave, I'm sure.
Oh, exactly, $18,000.
Yeah, there you go.
It was not
in the
scene.
Oh, no, we're not there yet.
Oh.
Perry?
Yeah, do you want me to take...
Dude, you'd be awesome. Would you go over to Grumpy's for us and grab food?
We need to pay him.
I have cash.
I have cash as well.
We are almost at $18,000. We're $17,810.21. I don't know
who left
the
21
cents.
That's amazing.
That's rad. Thank you guys so much. Again, the tester.com/donate is the link. If you're just joining us, we're sitting here. This is only a test live for 24 hours. It is Octobercast.
Pretty epic.
Getting ready to order dinner.
One third down. It is now 8 p.m. We are one third of the way through this thing.
33% of the way through.
One full work day in.
Yeah, we got two more to go, and we're bringing it home. Joining us from, your right to my left. That's not right. Dan Stapleton, Gordon Ma-Ung, Gary Whitta, I'm Will Smith, Norman Chan, Jeff Gerstmann, Perry.
Yes.
Last name?
Vandel
on the keyboards. Well, or the notepad, whatever.
On the hamburger.
Thank you for watching. Tested.com/donate. We've raised $18,000 and plus, actually, another 1,000 or from the Whiskey Media Store. If you would like to donate, the instructions are on tested.com/donate. And you can also listen to us at Mixlr, mixlr.com/WillSmith/live. People who are thinking that Will Smith is doing a live radio show right now, probably a little disappointed, I'll be honest.
Well, they just announced that they're going to do a Men in Black 3 video game.
Awesome.
So, you know, there's a lot that Will Smith has to
Nobody's
talk
contacted me about voice or likeness rights for that yet, but I mean, maybe soon.
Well, let's hope.
Now, Will, you probably could have gotten Will at Mixlr.
Maybe. Mixlr is really popular in some countries. It's a bunch of people from Spanish language countries, it seems like.
But none of them are named Will.
That's Guillermo.
True. They would be Guillermo. So
Jorge's.
Jose.
Let's order dinner for whoever wants it.
Yeah. And you know what? We're nearing pyjama time. I think we're like
well, I think, well, I think
hour
one
away.
More hour and I'll
after
be ready
dinner.
To change.
After dinner.
After dinner.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll change into my jammies.
Your jammies?
Oh,
yeah. We're having
Ryan
a pyjama
Davis
party. Ryan Davis is still here?
I just came back.
Oh,
he's back.
Jeez. All right. Yeah. So
I would like a cheeseburger with fries, medium, cheddar.
I will have exactly what Will has.
Now, Grumpy's is a little rarer than your traditional hamburger joint.
I can handle it.
Okay. I hope Grumpy's is still open because it is 8 o'clock and I bet they're probably done.
They're close. I've been here late and had Grumpy's this late.
Mm-hmm. Want to sit for a while?
Sure.
So
I can't talk about anything.
Okay.
Okay.
What, you mean like because of secrecy or because you're just incapable of speech at this point?
Embargoes.
Yeah.
They announced...
Oh, you just came back from a thing.
Request. Yeah.
Can you even say...
Harry, I will have the meatloaf dinner.
But all the other stuff is still...
And instead of the mac and cheese side, fries.
This is more fantastic podcast. You know what? I'm going to take the opportunity to kill this current
Is this a good time?
We're at 2 hours,
Dan,
basically.
You know what? We got to reminisce about our eating contest.
Look at that.
That's right.
You were actually right on the money.
Yeah,
look
so you guys are going
to
be
–
this is going to be some exclusive live stream only content here for the next 30 or 40 seconds while I get this –
canceled.